much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Eat this. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Eat it. Eat it. Eat it. Don't chew. Just let it dissolve. Hold.
Is this very hot?
Hold.
Is it good physically? I'm
hold.
For it to dissolve in my mouth.
Now chew, chew, chew.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
You came in here 3 days ago. You were arrogant, condescending, and offensive. Your behavior was boorish and juvenile.
You were rude, vulgar, and uncouth. You were coarse, graceless, and puerile.
Obscene, insulting, and ignorant.
Ignorant?
You called me a riddled anal wasteland. You called me a chode gargling toilet.
We're really excited to be in business with you guys.
And now...
What's wrong with the lowest common denominator? Huh? That's what this country was built on!
Our feature presentation.
All right. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 28th of April.
What's crackling, you guys? What's going on? What's the latest? What's the haps? What's new?
Wow.
It's a lot of questions.
Sorry.
Yeah.
One at a time, please.
Just missed you guys, man. I just want to know what you've been up to.
Allie, you leave your house yesterday?
I did.
Wow.
I know. It's
wild,
it's
woman.
Kind of a new Allie. Yeah.
Seriously, what's going on? You didn't have a date or anything, did you?
Don't be ridiculous.
No. Okay. Come on.
All right. It was just to go to the go to the drugstore.
Yeah.
Do you buy more cat food?
I don't have a cat. How dare you?
Wow. Yet.
Because I.
Yet what? Being?
Yet. I said, you don't have a cat. Okay.
Yet.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I can't accept love, so. Bring one.
You can home. Neither give nor accept nope. love. So nope. How could you have a pet?
Good point.
Okay. You're okay though?
I'm doing great. How are you, Bean?
I'm starting to get worried about you. That's all.
Why?
Just because, you know, she seems damaged.
Well, I think that's a given.
Yeah,
it's
we're
all damaged.
Every person on the show is damaged.
Yeah, different variables that contribute in different levels.
Got a fun story to get us started today. We do have a very big Kevin and Bean show, as usual. But this story, don't be scared off if you're not a football fan, because this story is not about football. This story is about broadcasting. Now, remember, there used to be a time, Kevin, you remember this better than anyone, where you used to be able to screw up on the air and kind of get away with it.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Doesn't happen anymore,
not
man.
Not at all. No.
Nothing gets missed. Everything is recorded. There's a million eyes waiting on television, a million ears on every radio show just waiting for somebody to say something dumb so that the internet can pounce on that person. And this is a story about a live broadcast on the NFL Network yesterday that involved two analysts talking about Jameis Winston. Now, for folks who don't follow football, Jameis Winston is expected to go first in the NFL draft on, when is it? Thursday, I think it starts, right? And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are expected to take him. He has been a controversial player. He's a phenomenal college player. Actually won the Heisman Trophy playing for Florida State. But he's got some issues in his personal life, including a sexual assault charge against him. Well, he was never charged, but it was alleged that he sexually assaulted a woman. So, you know, these days especially, you know, in the age of public relations, NFL teams really want to do their due diligence to make sure they're not hiring a headache.
Right.
So that's the topic on the table on this NFL Network show. And the host is Dan Helley, and he has a network analyst on named Charlie Casserly, and he asks a very reasonable question about it. But Mr. Casserly is not prepared to answer that question.
Here with us now, Charlie, they've reportedly talked to 75 different people over the last couple of months about Jameis Winston, doing all of their due diligence and more. A lot of pressure on them as they have the number one pick. They need to get better and get better in a hurry, and it starts at the quarterback position. What type of questions are you asking middle school teachers and high school coaches when you're doing
Time
research?
Out. Hold on. Here.
What?
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 Hold on. Start. I thought you were just going to, what do you do? I'm not going to answer specific questions. We didn't talk about that inside.
Okay, so the NFL analyst apparently doesn't realize they are live on TV. He thinks this is them just, you know, chewing the fat about what they're going to be talking about when they get on TV. So he's like, Don't ask me questions like that. We didn't. You didn't pre-screen that question. We didn't talk about what we were going to be talking about.
And when we go on the air, you better not bring that up.
Exactly right. Oh, right. By the way, he's an NFL analyst. Is there a more reasonable question in that conversation to have, which is what kinds of things are the Buccaneers looking for in all of these interviews that they're doing about Jameis Winston? Like, why is he flipping out over that question so much? I don't know anything about the NFL, and I could answer that question. Well, they're looking for people who know what Jameis Winston is about. They're looking for people who've worked with him or you know, been friends with him or dated him to find out what the character is of this young man. I mean, clearly that's what's going on here, right? So he's, don't ask me.
Well, you don't ask me a question we haven't talked about.
Well, hold on. Let's go here. Yeah, let's go here.
Just ask me.
When you're doing, let's pretend you're the general manager for a minute, okay? Like, how does the process start?
Yeah,
that starts with questions, though, right? Gotcha. How does that process start?
Well, the process starts. Well, are we live? What are we doing now?
What?
are we
live? What are we doing now? By the way, we do a radio show, and sometimes we have to tape stuff because of time.
Right.
And sometimes it is a little bit dizzying to kind of go back and forth between live and tape. And who knows, maybe this guy's jumping around all sorts of different studios, taping different things. Maybe he really doesn't know he's live, but shouldn't he?
Well, I'll say this. I did live TV for 14 years. I can't tell you how many times after I finished four segments with someone, they'd say, "So when is this going to air?" Oh, wow. Wow. Why would we be here at 5 a.m. if it was going to? Oh, sweet spirit. So people aren't bright. I'll just put that out there.
But this guy's an NFL analyst
and does these interviews
all the time.
Yeah. All the time. He's not just a guy you're talking to at the llama farm. I mean, this guy should certainly know the red light is on. It is funny how often you do see them throw it to reporters on the news, though, and they have no idea that they're being, you know, that somebody's coming to. Like the guy in the drive-thru getting the breakfast a couple of weeks ago. Remember the guy? So let's go back to Charlie, see if he's caught on yet.
Well, the process starts. Well, are we live? What are we doing now? Are we taping or what are we doing?
No, we're live.
Then you start the whole thing over.
Okay, we're live. What's the process? Just walk me through the process.
Okay.
Start the whole thing over? How does that help if you're still live?
Start the whole thing over.
No. I think he maybe finally starts to answer here.
If you're the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and you're their general manager, what are you doing right now?
Well, the first thing is, if you're going to ask 75 questions, interview
75 people.
That's a red light.
Okay, so at least now he's moving on. Now he's answering the question. But I love that he made the guy start over.
Yep.
Even though he'd already heard the question, they were already lab. So it's not the worst thing I've ever seen, but it is one of the funniest because he didn't know.
This place is really, really janky. And you always assume that whoever is at the next level, they've got their stuff together.
That's right.
You always assume that. Mm-mm. Not the case, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Apparently everybody runs their show just like we do, which is not good.
Is a miracle that anybody ever gets anything on the air.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Beach Show, shall we?
Yeah, I don't want any part of that last bit.
We have Robin Lord Taylor in studio.
So excited.
What's his character's name, Kevin? I'm trying to remember.
The Penguin, Bean.
But his
Thank
real name.
You for asking.
He's got to be the Penguin.
He's not the Penguin yet.
He's got to have a real name. Like, what's on his birth certificate?
Yeah, what's his real name now, though?
Robin Lord Taylor?
No,
right, that's the actor.
His character doesn't
have a birth certificate.
On Gotham. But he has a name. But what's the character's name, if you can help us remember that?
Oswald Cobblepot.
Okay, that was pretty good.
Wow, Kevin.
That was pretty good. A little bit of hiccup in the cobble between the cobble and the pop, but you got it.
I surprised myself on that one. Tyler Labine will be on the program today as well. We have a French preacher who believes that the Avengers 2 is of the devil. Wow. It's the devil.
You don't know, man.
It's the devil.
You don't know, man. You weren't there.
We also have a woman who marries a carnival. So that's coming up this morning as well. We will take a break, and we will come back with the show. You know.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We also have a woman who marries a carnival. So that's coming up this morning as well. We will take a break and we will come back with the show. You know.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Man.
That's how I roll.
First of all, let me get this straight. I wasn't aware. She married the whole carnival?
Well, not the whole carnival.
But that's what you just told me.
Carnival ride.
Oh. Well, then that changes everything. Can we replay that moment one more time, please?
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We also have a woman who marries a carnival. So that's coming up this morning as well. We will take a break, and we will come back with the show. You know.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Nice work, Kevin.
Wow. That was sweet. It was like a twofer. It was like an Easter egg moment with and the real moment with. That's the best.
That's a good start.
He's starting to layer them. He's starting to get complex. It's like any artist, they start to grow in their medium.
Well, that was his Rubber Soul, Ralph. Yeah, that's he's leaving the garage band behind.
See, now he puts the obvious moment on top, and then he's got other moments buried inside those moments. Oh, you are very truly deep. An artist. You are an artist of...
Yesterday on the Kevin DeBean Show, we announced the K-Rock Weenie Rose Fiesta 2015 with lots of great bands, including Florence and the Machine and Death Cab for Cutie and Muse of Monsters and Men. And the lead singer of Panic at the Disco joins us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. If you want to hear from Brendan, stick around. Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat Now on a Tuesday. What's happening?
Well, Worst Thumb. Worst Thumb been added to the list
Worst
yet?
Thumb is...
Technically, they're not playing the Weenie Roast yet.
Mm, a lot of people are going to be pissed. That's all I'm saying. A lot of people waiting for Worst Thumb.
Well, we got an update on Worst Thumb later on this morning. You're... guitarist in your Bad Finger cover band, the Nudes himself, is going to be joining us, Noodles from Offspring, at 8
o'clock. Nudes!
Your bandmate.
My bandmate, yeah. You know, we're in the same band. That's how I roll. Let's take a look at the show business news this morning. Brad Pitt. Women gasping all over the world as news broke yesterday that he's got a nasty gash across his face.
Wow.
No, he did. He got a cut on his cheek.
That maybe
it's bad.
Gash is kind
how bad is it?
Gross.
It's bad.
He looks like he lost a bar fight.
Yeah, he got roughed up.
Yeah,
he was at a benefit for Autism Speaks on Saturday night and had to answer a lot of questions about his gaping gunshot wound to the face.
Is it a gunshot wound to the face?
It's something. I don't know. He said that's what happens when you try to run up steps in the dark with your arms full, wearing flip flops. Well, listen, you hippie, put on some shoes and we won't have those problems anymore. I know Angela Jolie's just roughing him up in the bathroom.
You think so?
That's what's going on. She's like, I work for the UNICEF! Just gives him backhands and just slaps him. She's just the ogre.
He's like, can't we stop? Can't we please stop?
Tied up in the bedroom, hanging from a cross. Congratulations to Ian Somerhalder, another good-looking dude, and his girlfriend, Twilight star Nikki Reed. They tied the knot last weekend. Congratulations, you two newlyweds. It's going to last forever. Even though Nikki Reed was previously married to a guy named Paul McDonald from American Idol for 9 months.
Yeah. So. These two seem super into each other. I don't know if you saw those photos of them making out at Coachella during the entire weekend.
Sure. Speaking of marriages, our buddy Stana Katic got married over the weekend. Congratulations to Stana. She's a lovely and talented lady. She married her groom, Chris Brilljack. Brilljack. A fellow Croatian. And they got married at a family private monastery in Croatia.
Wow.
So congratulations
fancy.
To those two kids. Keep it in the family, as it were. And while we're talking about wonderful married couples, Kim Kardashian said on the Today Show that she's been seeing the best doctors in the world to try to conceive again with Kanye West. But she just can't make it happen. The day God said no more. That's what I like to call it. The way I said, I have had an ass full of you two. I'm putting the kibosh on this genetic line.
Now let me ask you this, Ralph. We were all horrified when she got pregnant with the first baby.
Yes.
But doesn't it seem like they're taking pretty good care of the first baby? And they
well,
they
whoever's raising them is, yes.
Well, the impression I got at the beginning is our fear was it was just going to be an army of nannies. They certainly are making it appear that it isn't that way. Maybe
really?
That's just all photo ops, but it seems like they're with the kid a lot.
But there's legendary stories about her leaving without the kid and going to Paris, and then the people, this legion of nannies bringing the kid to Paris to meet up with them. I mean, she's abandoning the kid constantly.
So you don't think she's very hands-on?
No.
All right, well, then God made the right choice.
Absolutely. This is what you breed in that family. Kris Jenner has said she is not happy about Bruce Jenner's tell-all interview with Diane Sawyer. She feels publicly humiliated.
What?
Nice. How did she turn it? How did she make it about her? How was any of this about Kris Jenner?
I can't imagine.
I can't either. She's just.
Does she think that he's doing this because she's such an awful person?
She's spiting her somehow? What a succubus this woman is.
Huh.
How did he live with her for this long?
I don't know.
How about
his kids together?
Yeah, how about we had 17 years together, and I'll always love him, and I wish him all the best. Yeah, how about that, Chris?
She's repugnant.
Even if it's not true, say it.
Right. And if you had a chance to ask Stephen Hawking one question, what would it be? He's the world's smartest man. Most brilliant man in the world. Well, next to Kevin.
Did you enjoy Paul Blart 2? Would be my question.
He gave a lecture via hologram Saturday night at the Sydney Opera House from his home in Cambridge, England. He was a hologram, and he gave a lecture.
That was cool, by the way. Did you watch some of that?
Stop saying things like that.
No, the fact that...
No one saw it.
I saw it.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
The Beats on Live.
How dare you assume anyone else saw it ever anywhere?
It looked like he was on stage, and it was a hologram. I mean, we are getting to the point where that technology actually happens and works. And he was interacting with people in the crowd, interacting with the moderator on stage. It was amazing.
At the end of the night, Hawking took questions from the audience. And here was the one that made everyone's evening. What do you think is the cosmological effect of Zayn leaving One Direction and consequently breaking the hearts of millions of teenage girls across the world? Hawking reportedly took a pause and then said, finally, a question about something important. My advice to any heartbroken young girl is to pay close attention to the study of theoretical physics, because one day there may well be proof of multiple universes. It would not be beyond the realms of possibility that somewhere outside our own universe lies another universe, and in that universe, Zayn is still in One Direction.
Wow.
This girl may like to know that in another possible universe, she and Zayn are happily married. So there you go. He's helping the heartbroken teens of
the
world.
He's helping the delusional be more delusional.
Through the magic of science.
In another world, I'm with him.
You don't know, man. You don't know.
He is a dick.
No, he's not. What? He's a genius. And at the end of the program, Hawking reportedly said, a woman marries a carnival. Coming up next, the Chopin. The computer just...
Kevin has a glitch in his matrix.
Smoke started to come out.
How dare you all.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Two of the Glee kids. Kids. They're in their 30s. Jenna Ushkowitz and Harry Shum Jr. have birthdays today. He's 33. She's 29.
Dave, make the list for you again today,
yep.
Rob.
You know what? Now the show's off the air, I think we can permanently X those two names off any future lists. Jessica Alba.
Until they do something different.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, sure. Jessica Alba's 34 years old today. Penelope Cruz is 41. Jorge Garcia is 42 years old today. Oh, I remember the first time we had Jorge in on the show.
Come on.
I'm just saying.
Come on, Ralph.
I'm just saying.
Don't.
I remember the first time we had Jorge Garcia from Lost in on the Kevin and Bean
show.
You
don't need to pile on.
And Kevin said, please welcome Jose Garcia.
Didn't I say it more than once, too?
Yep.
Yeah.
You sure did.
Yeah.
42 years old today. Mm-hmm. Violent J from Insane Clown Posse. He's 43. Well, you would hardly expect someone who's in an insane, a posse of insane clowns, not to be violent, wouldn't you?
That's
violent,
true.
Jay? Bridget Moynihan's 45. Rapper Too Short, 49. And former television late night host Jay Leno of The Tonight Show is 65 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Two very fine actors making return appearances on The Kevin and Bean Show this morning. Robin Lord Taylor from Fox's Gotham. Who's he play, Kevin?
The Penguin. Thank you.
No, the character's name. What's the...
Not going to do it again.
He plays Oswald Cobblepot. He'll be joining us on the program today. And our old friend Tyler Labine from Hulu's Deadbeat at 7 o'clock as well. First, though, Kevin, you got a new girlfriend to introduce us to.
My... Strange Addiction is the best show ever on TLC.
It's pretty strong.
These people are just straight insane.
Now, I have to ask, because you've watched a lot of My Strange Addiction over the seasons on TLC, which again stands for the Freak Show Network. Is there any chance this is all fake? The guy who has sex with the car, the woman who eats bricks, is it any chance that they're just making ha-ha for TV?
I imagine, of course, there's always a chance. But when you see them, you go, okay, either they're really good actors, and that's probably not the case, or they're just crazy.
So we're buying it. We're buying this woman is in love with a carnival ride.
Starts with this music.
Yeah. My name is Linda. I'm 56 years old. I am happily married to a carnival ride called a skydiver.
Yep. She says proudly. By the way, I was watching this last night, Bean, and I got a tweet from somebody that said, I'm watching the guy that married his car. Are you watching this? I was like, no, I'm watching the woman that married the carnival ride.
I love that she's not only married to the carnival ride, she's happily married to the carnival ride.
That's very true. This is a Ferris wheel, and it's got like a barrel roll on it, so you kind of lock yourself in, and then you can
roll the barrel, I guess, not vertically, but horizontally as it goes around on the Ferris
sure.
wheel.
Okay.
It's a very specific person. You don't want to get Bruce mixed up with anyone else.
His name is Bruce, and we've known each other since 1981.
I don't want him to be a human. I don't want him to have those traits.
Someone's been hurt.
So Linda likes Bruce just the way he is as an inanimate object. And I yes. wonder if that's a power play for her, because she gets to decide when they see each other and how much time they spend together. And she also gets to go off and live her own life, too, I wonder.
Bruce is incredibly broken, it should be mentioned. Bruce
Literally.
Does not function. Oh. Bruce is a pile of steel.
He doesn't what? Work at all.
He doesn't work at all. No, he's in her backyard in a
this
pile.
Is, she's not. Wait, what? Bruce nope. is not nope. part of a carnival and she goes and rides him?
That's how it started. But you'll hear some of that later. But first, who else did she have a relationship with?
My first relationship was with an airplane. The last serious relationship I had before I met Bruce was with a locomotive.
Right.
That didn't work out.
How could that not work out? She was dating a locomotive.
She likes really big things.
She does. That's true. So she falls in love with Bruce at the carnival and immediately gets a job with the carnival so that she can spend all of her time with him.
When I was hired to work for the carnival, I pretty much spent 24/7 with Bruce. I took a leave of absence from the carnival and went to operate another ride temporarily.
Yeah, what do you think happened there when the sad music started? Bruce got injured.
No. Oh, no.
Yeah, Bruce got injured. Oh. And they put him out to pasture or whatever they do with these rides. And so she went to another carnival, and then she's recently gotten back in touch with him and then married him. So this is a very, very romantic episode.
How did she get Bruce, the broken-down Ferris wheel, moved from the carnival to, what, her house? Does she have it in the backyard?
It is in her yard, yes. They didn't really tell how she did
that. That sounds like a very expensive proposition.
It does. She also says that she spent $60,000 trying to rebuild him, and he's not done yet. He's still just in a pile of steel in the backyard.
Oh, man.
Well, I get that.
What does she like about Bruce?
Some women like tall men. Some women like men with a colorful personality. He's got all of that, you know. And to me, I mean, Bruce is just amazing when he stands up and just being spread out in all his glory.
Which you can't do anymore because he's hurt. And
right.
She's tempting fate now. She's going to another carnival, Bean.
She's cheating on Bruce.
She's going. She doesn't think it's cheating. But she's going to another carnival, and she's standing in front of another Ferris wheel, skydiver. She's standing right in front of another one. So how's that going?
I absolutely feel closer to Bruce when I can spend the nights being near parts of him that I can physically touch.
There's that. And how does the sex life
Well, end? I mean, we were all Bruce waiting for that I part of the story.
Sorry, what?
I've said, yeah, we were all waiting for that part of the story because some of these, you know, I'm in love with the inanimate objects don't go to the physical, but I'm dying to know what's going on with Linda and Bruce.
What Bruce and I do in our personal lives and out of the way, out of sight, out of mind is between us.
It's none of your business, Bean.
Okay, sorry.
But she did say parts of him that I can touch, so I can only guess, right?
She's rubbing up on him.
She calls her neighbor over, and I'm going to tell you what the neighbor says because it's hard to understand. She introduced me to Bruce, and I'm like, huh?
When she introduced me to Bruce, I'm like, huh? You know?
This is like Carney Heaven, by the way. These people are all insane.
So Bruce isn't back to his form
Not
in the backyard.
All.
He's
right.
just in like random pieces.
Correct. Well, one big giant pile.
Okay.
So then she's visiting other carnivals.
I'm a very monogamous person. Right. I've made the commitment to Bruce, and so I'm not going to jump the new ride in town and say, oh, I want this.
Right, because you're monogamous. Well, then why are you at another carnival?
But I know there's a skydiver behind me, standing proud and tall and just waiting for me to go over there and see him, and pretty excited about checking this out.
Sounds like cheating to me.
A lot of people have thought, is that cheating or being unfaithful to ride on another ride? Personally, I don't think it is. I don't think that riding on another skydiver is cheating on my husband any more than you going to a grocery store and talking to another man.
I got news for you, Linda.
First of all, you're not talking to the other skydiver. You're riding him.
Right. Hey, what part of Florida is this in, by the way? Did
How
they say?
It
dare
is.
You? How dare you assume she's in Florida? You are an evil human being.
I can just bring this energy back to Bruce and say, yes, this is what we want. This is what we want for you. We got to get you back to this state again.
That's right. That's what men love, is they love to be told what they need to be. You can go tell Bruce that he's not standing up tall.
We love to fix.
Well done.
What does Bruce do for me? He completes the wholeness in my heart. Right. He's my soulmate, and hopefully we'll be together into eternity.
Where's she from?
I live outside of Tampa, Florida.
There you go. So that, of course, is Muse, and they are playing the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2015. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon. Make sure you're a K-Rock Street Team member. They'll send you a password.
I won't be able to make it to that little event you guys are having. Your little
the Weenie Roast?
Silly.
Why do you come every year, Ralph? You always look
thing.
Forward to that.
Whatever.
What's the problem?
I got things now. I got Fingerfest that weekend.
I'm sorry?
Fingerfest.
Fingerfest, did you say?
Fingerfest.
I'm also busy.
Yeah.
I've also got the same thing.
Chip and I, we have to go to Fingerfest.
What is Fingerfest?
I don't want any part of that.
Fingerfest is the biggest Badfinger convention in America each and every
year. Is it the only Badfinger convention?
How dare you, sir?
Open up a blog.
Yeah, really, Kevin.
All right. Let's go back to square one for folks who may wonder who the hell Badfinger is, for starters.
What?
That's a great question.
They were a very popular rock band, a pop rock band, kind of in the following the template
Power
of the
pop.
Beatles.
Power pop's fine. Please.
Yeah.
Use the
back in the
trimmer.
Late 60s, early 70s, they had a string of hits. They were signed to the Beatles record label, and they broke up. They didn't break up.
The man put his foot on their neck and
right.
kept them from producing and stole all their money, so much so that their genius lead singer and major songwriter, Peter Hamm, took his own life.
Gone but never forgotten.
Tragic story.
Ralph Garman, about a week ago, came up with the idea, or at least he shared with us an idea that he'd been percolating with for some time, which is that he wanted to be part of a Badfinger tribute band. Am I right, Ralph?
Yes. Well, I want to make a major motion picture about the story of Badfinger, but until that actually happens, I would like to – I've always had a dream of fronting my own Badfinger cover band.
Now, I feel like Ralph was joking – and just sort of entertaining the idea until we got a tweet from a certain person. And that certain person is Noodles from The Offspring.
Noodles!
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Noodles said, I want to be in the band, and Ralph's eyes went, all right, this is on.
No, it's happening.
Here's the thing. There are some people in life who like to kill your dreams. Bean! And then there are others you meet in life who will nurture and foster and help your dreams grow.
Uh-huh. Right.
And Noodles
I'm here for you, Ralph.
Noodles
I'm
is the second kind of guy.
All right. Noodles, take me back to that morning. God bless you. You had the Kevin and Bean show on. Tell me what you heard and how your brain processed that information.
Right. Well, I dropped my son off at school, and I went to the beach to go surfing. And right as I pull up to the beach, I hear about Worst Thumb, which sounded like the best idea ever.
Thank you, Noodles. Thank you. And by the way, Noodles started contributing right away via Twitter, and he spelt the band W-U-R-S-T Thumb with an umlaut over the U, and that's how officially we're spelled.
That's so much more rock and roll than doing it the old-fashioned
way. Very much.
Well, of course. I mean, the umlauts show people that we're not messing around.
That's right. That is a serious umlaut right there.
So, Noodles, Badfinger music for a guy like you, an accomplished musician like you, pretty simple stuff. I mean, you could probably play that on the fly, right?
It's you know what? A lot of it's not too difficult.
Okay.
From what I've been checking out so far, yeah.
Now, Noodles, is this an idea that you have been considering as well, or was it just, that sounds great?
I'm a really big fan of bad puns. So when I heard,
is that a band?
Finger, worst thumb on there. I was in.
So you're less interested in the music, more interested in the pun.
it was the play on words.
Music secondary.
Sure, I can understand that.
Do you remember Noodles Badfinger being a popular band, or did they ever mean anything to you?
I remember the song. Sure, you know, Come and Get It. Of course, you know, was real big, and I knew of the story. I mean, this is a band that was made for behind the scenes kind of documentaries, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Does anyone know more than that one song?
Yes!
They got a handful of hits.
I think Without You is their most popular.
Not by them, though. Without You being covered by other artists is their most popular song they ever wrote, probably, yes.
Yeah.
Right, of course. Yeah, the Nilsson version.
Right.
You know, and then No Matter What, of course, was a pretty big hit as well.
And Baby Blue.
Baby Blue, classic.
I wasn't familiar with that one, Baby Blue.
Oh, see?
You better get familiar.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the band for a minute here. Ralph, it came together fast that day when the Noodles called in. I mean, obviously, that makes it A-level right there.
Noodles is like what Ringo was to the Beatles. He was that one piece that brought it all together and made it all real, made it all happen. You know?
Exactly. Did you only pick Chip to be your bass player because she was line of sight, or
you're a dick?
First of all, she's not line of sight.
She isn't. I had to look way down in order to see her. But she's so desperate to be in a band that the minute I brought it up, she's like, "I'll do it. I'll be in it. I'll do it. I'll play bass for you." So she was.
That
sort
might
of the,
partly be true.
She was the first member who volunteered.
Okay. All right.
And well, then I think also though, if you look at Chip, she kind of resembles Joey Milan.
She does.
Oh,
yeah,
look at that.
She looks a lot like the original bassist for Badfinger. So.
All right, and then bring the listeners
when
up
we
to
do,
speed.
When we do Finger Mania on Broadway, the actual musical, she'll be able to play him. Yes.
Now, the drummer is the drummer.
It's to be decided.
So far, the drummer is...
Well, it's a placeholder, but Beer Mug is the drummer.
Okay,
right
that
now.
might be a problem.
Is that a deal breaker, Noodles?
Placeholder, okay.
Noodles, is that a deal breaker for you if Muggs is playing drums?
I'm not sure about Muggs. Yeah, come on.
He doesn't care.
Better.
Noodles just likes the name. Now, Ralph, give us the update then.
Well, then I was hanging out with some friends over the weekend, and I was hanging out with Pat Smear, who's a friend of mine. And I told Pat the situation. I told him Noodles was on board. I said, what's your schedule like? And he's like, well, we're actually in town for a little while before we go out again with the Foos, before we start touring. He said, I'd love to be in Worst Thumb. So another guitar player will be Pat Smear.
Excellent. This is a super group.
He's a great
guy.
He's a great guy. And yeah. I'll be seeing the other guys in the Foo Fighters this weekend, so maybe we can get Taylor on board or Dave. We'll see what their schedules are.
You need to get somebody to replace Muggs.
Well, that's for sure.
Why not both, Ralph? Let's
both.
Big. I mean,
Finger Fest deserves the best.
I'm getting T-shirts made up right now.
Now, I have to ask, we're all thinking it, but I have to be the one to bring the party down and ask this, Ralph. Are you concerned that the better this band gets, the more likely it is that you will be kicked out of it?
See?
See what he does?
Yeah, he's not nurturing.
Dream killer.
He does. Being the dream killer. That's why we call him Dream Killer, because he just wants to poop all over the things you love. And I, sir, have my poop umbrella up, so I'm not bothered by you.
Okay, so you're fine. So what's the plan? You'll get some answers this weekend, Ralph, and then what? What happens, say, next week with Worst
Stuff? Right into the studio, man.
Okay. So you're not writing songs. You just have to record covers, and then... That's it?
And then
put out an album?
Put the tour schedule together.
Tour schedule?
Yeah.
Okay. Noodles, are you free for the next year and a half?
Yeah, off and on.
Off and
I can
on.
Make it work. I'll find the holes in my schedule that we can fill with Finger.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Why are you shadowboxing? What's happening?
Because I'm warming up
for
the battle that I've been prepping for my entire life. Me versus the Penguin. Finally, me and the Penguin are going to square off, as it should be. Batman versus the Penguin.
You're not Batman?
Wait, yeah, you're
I am
not.
The closest thing you'll ever know, sucka.
Okay.
Jive turkey.
Okay. And he's an actor who plays someone who will be the Penguin on TV.
Or is he? By the way, he's the Penguin on TV now. They call him the damn Penguin.
Yeah, yeah, it's
not like he's going to grow up to be the Penguin.
Yeah, so stop asking me his character's name.
Dumbass
he's the
Penguin.
But what's his character's name, though?
It's the Penguin.
Yeah, but what is it? Like, what's his name?
Or his real name, Kevin? The character's name?
How dare you? Robin Lord Taylor.
No, the character's name.
What?
How dare you?
Oswald Cobblepot.
Look at you! Good boy.
If I say it fast, maybe I'll get it done. Oswald
Cobblepot. I tried it slower. That didn't work well yesterday, so.
Oswald Cobblepot.
He joins us, Robin Lord Taylor, in the 8 o'clock hour. Actor Tyler Labine coming up in about 10 minutes. Though first, here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday.
I've seen the finale, by the way, the Gotham finale.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's this coming Monday, right?
S gets real.
It's a week from last night.
Stuff goes down.
Yeah.
In that finale. That it's just, it's awesome. Just awesome. And fish. Mooney will make an appearance. I believe that could be as well.
I was so happy to see her just so that Ralph could do his impression.
Oh, yeah. She's the best.
She's definitely acting in a different show than everyone else.
Yeah, she's just... She's
the best.
The greatest actress.
If there's no
ever.
Showdown between Fish and Cookie on TV somewhere next season.
They need their own show. Fish Cookie. which is, just sounds disgusting, but would, you know, be great television. Speaking of great television, did you guys watch that unauthorized Saved by the Bell TV movie over there in Lifetime?
No, I did not, know.
It was supposed to pull back the curtain and show you all the machinations behind the scenes of what was going on with those kids during Saved by the Bell years.
I did not watch that.
It was very titillating. A lot of stuff going on. Okay. Well, based on the success of that, Lifetime has now decided to do the same thing with Full House. Oh, what was going on backstage at Full House? What was going on between Stamos and Saget? That's what I want to know. They're all like, making out stuff, I'm sure. Yeah, just like that. Right, some of that back there, too. And that was going on in the dressing rooms. And some of this, yeah, over there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, out in the trailers, that would happen. Yeah, right there. So the film will explore what happened as the cast of the show became stars. Yeah. How difficult it was for them to compensate with instant fame. Looking forward to that. We'll have to get Bob's take on it and see what happened. Speaking of television, a lot of people saying that the reason Dr. McWacky got the boot from Grey's Anatomy.
McSteamy?
Yeah, right.
McDreamy.
McDreamy?
McJizzy? What was it?
McDreamy.
Ralph. I don't believe your guess was airworthy.
No, I think they dumped that. But because Patrick Dempsey was a pain in the ass.
Oh, no. Really?
Yes.
No. Don't believe it.
Wasn't he on he on the show for like 23 years?
Insufferable behavior led to him being booted.
He asked to be off the show.
Uh-huh. Or did he?
How dare you.
Ellen Pompeo, his co-star, took to Twitter yesterday to try to squelch rumors that it was because he was acting out that they got rid of him. She said that's
he
not
is
true.
A dick.
Right?
No,
that's not.
No.
Right?
No.
Right?
No.
Right?
Uh-uh.
Allie, why are you so defensive of this man you know nothing about?
Yes.
I know a lot about him. He's from Maine. And
he's a race car driver. You know his home state and what his hobbies are.
And he does a lot of work in Maine for people with cancer.
Who drive cars.
Also
right,
that.
Also.
No, he does a huge charity event every year
but
and raises
does that make him easy to work with as an actor
absolutely
on a set?
Absolutely does, because he's got a kind heart and he's wonderful. You leave Patrick Dempsey alone.
Maybe you should ask his wife, Gillian Fink, and their impending divorce apparently has changed his behavior.
I'm listening.
According to sources. So maybe reason why they decided to make that shocking move on a shocking Grey's Anatomy. You know what? I was shocked to find out it was still on television.
Same. I thought it ended like four seasons ago.
There's a new Grey's Anatomy. I'm shocked by this news that Grey's Anatomy is still on television. Shocked, I say. So, and if anyone cares, that's the rumor.
Speaking that show is still popular, I think, Ralph.
I
know.
Word for it. I'll take
it fell off my radar 9 seasons ago, too, but it apparently is still very popular.
There's a lot of popular things I don't know anything about. I'm not saying it's not popular. I'm just saying it doesn't enter my sphere at all.
Right.
And here's one thing I was stunned about, and this is my sphere. I consider myself a boxing fan. I'm not a hardcore. I'm not a lunatic about it, but I'm an aficionado.
Yeah, you know a lot. You've trained. Yeah.
Who had an idea that Saturday, Hayden Panettiere was there ringside as her baby daddy, Vladimir Klitschko, defended his heavyweight championship. Did you know anything about that at all?
I didn't know about it until I saw a recap of it on Sunday. Had no idea it was happening.
There was a heavyweight championship bout at Madison Square Garden on Saturday night between Klitschko and Bryant Jennings. I had no idea it was even happening.
Huh.
How could that happen in a major sport where you're not even aware that one of the highest awards or championships is up for grabs? And
it's
makes
boxing.
No ripple whatsoever. I know it's boxing.
But I'd say
if
boxing
it was
is
the
a
world darts championship. We would have heard something about it, right?
Bang, bang, bang.
You heard that?
Bang, bang,
bang,
bang.
I had no idea it was even happening. They have a serious problem boxing.
Yeah,
yep.
A serious public relations problem.
When this
where
fight
they could
is
have a heavyweight championship fight on a Saturday night, and I don't even know it's happening, and I'm a fan of the sport.
I think they're closing boxing after this weekend's fight. It's over.
Man,
is it?
And Mayweather-Pacquiao, those guys are welterweights? What are they?
They've fought all different kinds of weights.
Yeah, I know Floyd's been everywhere.
Yeah, but I don't know what they're fighting at.
Isn't it funny that that's getting all the press and the heavyweight championship bout we never heard about?
Yeah. Well, the heavyweight used to be the glory, the glamour division, but there's no competition anymore.
It's been 10 years since I've heard anything, you know, serious about boxing.
Klitschko seems like he's been the heavyweight champ forever, by the way. He's just a big bear of a man. He can just do whatever he wants. But, I mean, there was a time when, especially the heavyweight division, but boxing was king. I mean, the days of, you know, Mike Tyson and if you go back to Ali and Frazier and those, I mean, it was a huge deal. And now nobody cares.
And the UFC came along.
It's weird. Well, boxing was struggling before the UFC ever happened.
Bang, bang, bang.
No, listen to that guy. He knows.
Bang, bang, bang.
Bang, bang, bang,
bang. Bang.
All right, I'm running very late. Today's celebrity birthday is Jessica Alba's 34. Look, Dave wrote Harry Shum Jr. back on my sheet again. I crossed it off and he wrote it back on again. But he said that he's from the Step Up series. In addition to Glee. Penelope Cruz is 41. Jorge Garcia is 42 years old. Bridget Moynihan is 45. Too short. The rapper is 49. And Jay Leno, 65. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Don't forget to make sure you are a K-Rock Street Team member. It's free. It takes like 30 seconds to sign up at KROQ.com, and that way you will be eligible to buy tickets when they go on sale Friday at noon for the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2015, which is happening Saturday, May 16th at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. That is not an acid flashback. It's now called, once again, the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater. Get all the details at KROQ.com.
All right, let's say good morning to Tyler Labine. It's been a
while.
Hey, Tyler!
Good morning, guys.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello.
What have you been up to, son?
Oh, man. Well, Dad, I have been up to so much. I obviously finished shooting the second season of Deadbeat, which is on streaming now on Hulu Plus, and shameless plug. And then I also have been out in Atlanta shooting a movie with Melissa McCarthy and Peter Dinklage and Kristen Bell.
And, wow, that only sounds awesome.
That does sound awesome.
It's great. It's a movie called Michelle Darnell, and believe it or not, I'm actually playing the romantic love interest.
Oh,
lead
stop
guy.
It! Seriously,
what?
I'm jumping ship, guys. I don't know what's happening here. I've got all handsome and stuff.
I was going to ask you didn't pull a Chris Pratt and get all Avenger buff or anything, did you?
No, not yet. If I'm ever going to do that, that is going to be very heavily drug-induced, and I'm going to need a lot of help from my friends called steroids.
Okay, yes, exactly. Look, because we need some normal-looking guys on our TV and our computer screens and our movie screens, too. We can't have – everybody can't be Bradley Cooper, all right?
No, and the thing is with Chris Pratt, I get everyone's like, wow, what a transformation. Was it really?
Yes, it was.
It was, but he was built that way already. I've been battling these genes my whole life. He had the built-in genes to do it. He just ignored them. He neglected those genes. I'm fighting some very real, real struggles over here with my genes.
You're nurturing your genes. Look at it that way.
Yes, exactly. I don't want my genes to feel bad about themselves, you know?
Exactly. Listen, we don't want to gloss over this deadbeat. You mentioned it, but we love this show, as you know. We've had you on. We've had Kat Dealey, your co-star, on talking about it before, and it is on Hulu. And I think people are – I know, for instance, you don't even have cable. I mean, that's how you watch everything is online now. So people are very comfortable with the idea of Hulu. And how awesome is it for you, by the way, to get a rare call for a second season?
Yeah, I mean, for people who have followed my career, they know that is like a godsend. That does not happen in my world. So I'm very, very excited we got a second season. And now we're on the cusp of the third, which genuinely would be totally new territory for me.
Yeah.
I only had one show, Reaper, that went two seasons, and that was just, we barely eked out a second season. And this second season of Deadbeat on Hulu is like leaps and bounds better than the first season.
And I wanted to ask you about that because you had all those network shows, and I believe you, Tyler, when I've heard you say in the past that some of those shows were really good, but there's so many fingerprints. Everybody wants to screw with your show. You're answering to so many bosses. How is it different working for Hulu?
Well, you know, the new media format, as we're referring to it, is very different. It's a bit of a new frontier. And by that, I mean that there's not – you had a nice way of putting it. You said there's a lot of fingerprints. I always say there's too many wieners in the pie.
Okay.
And the cooks in the kitchen trying to get their rocks off. And it just doesn't – it does not bode well, especially for comedy. I feel like when you have too many people trying to tell a joke, you know, it's like if you had like 18 guests on your show and you were all trying to be funny at the same time, it doesn't work, you know?
Yeah.
So, I'm not saying anything disparaging about network TV. They know what they're doing. They've been doing it forever. But this new media format, they're really just discovering what we can get away with. It's not what we can't get away with. You know, we don't know exactly yet. Whereas standards and practices step in immediately in network, we don't even really deal with them because we're just dealing with, like, if you're on the internet and your age restriction or your age gate is set to off, you can watch whatever we put on there. So there's a lot more sort of freedom in that regard to be kind of edgy, and we can really push the boundaries. We can say the F word. And
you can just do whatever's funny, not whatever won't offend somebody.
Exactly, which is like, those are some very real rules you have to skate around in network TV, and I get it. But we just don't have to deal with that on the interwebs, as they put it.
Tell me about Johnny Penis.
Johnny Penis. Well, what can I tell you about Johnny Penis you don't already know?
He's a dick.
He's a real dick. Johnny Penis is played by James Franco, who is a buddy of mine. We've done a few movies together now, and he flew out to New York to just, like, do me a solid for, like, 6 hours one day. It was like, would you come out and play this guy? And Johnny Penis is basically, in our world of deadbeat, the most infamous slasher. So we deal in ghosts and everything in our show. So now it's helping to sort of avenge a dead ghost cop who died trying to take down Johnny Penis.
Oh, that old story again. Yeah, I remember when Perry Mason did that one.
So we're trying to go take down Johnny Penis, who is also a ghost. And it really crazy...
That's hilarious.
Antics ensue, yeah. And Franco is great. You know, as you guys know, he's a quirky dude.
Yeah.
And he really reveled in the opportunity to play a guy named Johnny Penis.
And
he really loves absurdity.
It really was no more than just, hey, would you come out and do it? And he did it?
Yeah, I just
That's
called
pretty
him.
Cool.
He owed me a favor because he teaches at UCLA and he's got, or USC, I'm sorry. And he had me come out and do like 4 nights of a night shoot on a student film for him. For one of his grad students, so he owed me.
I got all that's cool. All right, let me ask you about a friend of ours, Brad Williams. Brad makes several appearances on season 2 of Deadbeat, again on Hulu, available now. We're talking to actor Tyler Levine here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now that you've worked with Peter Dinklage and with Brad Williams, which midget are you most comfortable with?
Well, I'm going to stop you right there. It's small person.
Okay.
Little person, sorry.
Yeah, little person. I said it wrong, too. Okay.
Well, you know what happens is Brad is fine with the M word, and so we use it because Brad uses
is
it.
A friend of ours, and he loves it. Yeah.
Yeah, Brad's awesome. I gotta say, okay, so here we go. If I'm being totally fair and totally honest, Brad Williams, I love you. He joined the show, and I would say he's much more than making a few appearances. He's really rapidly becoming one of the regulars on the show. And I love Brad, and I work with Brad a lot.
But
Brad's not on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I mean, that's hard
to
argue.
Sorry. He's just not. He's funny. But I also got to say, working with Dinklage in Atlanta for the last couple of months, he may be one of the funniest human beings I've ever encountered in my
life. That's what everybody says.
That's what we keep hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He is a riot on and off camera. He's got this, like, command. I'm in love with Peter Dinklage. I guess I'll just say it. I'm just going to say I'm
just come right out with it.
My wife and kids are listening to the show in the kitchen right now. Now she knows.
Well, they had to find out at one time or another. It had to come out.
I know. Why not do it publicly on the Kevin and Bean Show? But he's really, really an outstanding guy, an amazing actor, has a real presence about him. And I got to say this, too. No joke. The ladies swoon over Peter Dinklage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their knees buckle around this guy. So I gotta put Dinklage in the winning category.
Okay. I respect your authority. I mean, you certainly would know. So, well, Michelle Darnell sounds like it's going to be awesome. We'll talk to you, I'm sure, as we get closer to that one coming out. But season 2 of Deadbeat is available now on Hulu. And Tyler Bean is so great on that show, by the way. He talks to dead people. And it's hilarious. And the beautiful Kat Dealey, it's so great to see her acting again. It really is a fine show, Tyler. And we're always happy to have you on to talk about it. Man, continued success and come back anytime, okay?
Thank you. I will. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you.
It's the return of actor Robin Lord Taylor. He is from TV's Gotham season finale next Monday night. He'll join us in the 8 o'clock hour here on the world famous K-Rock. Kevin, you see any of the riot coverage yesterday?
I saw a little bit of it. Yeah.
Thinking about getting on a plane, going to Maryland, getting yourself a TV?
No, that hadn't occurred to me, but I'm going to make a note.
Look, we've seen so many of these civil unrest situations in America in the last few years. This one seems more out of control to me. Am I wrong about this than any others in that I felt like that CVS store that was being looted in Baltimore, we were watching in real time. It seemed like for more than an hour and there wasn't a single cop around. Did they just give up sections of the city and just say, go and do whatever you need to do? What's happening in Baltimore?
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make sense, but I know they were being targeted.
But what do you mean? What do you mean they were being targeted?
The police were being targeted. Were they not?
I'm not sure. I apologize. What do you mean the police were being targeted? You mean people were throwing rocks at the police and things like that? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. I mean, it is a struggle, and it looks like it's not. I mean, we're talking about an American city in the 21st century that has a curfew where people aren't allowed to leave their homes after 10 o'clock at night. I mean, this is some serious stuff. For folks who don't know what's happening in Baltimore, here's a brief recap of what's happening on the news.
Apparently, it started with a flyer circulated by students on social media talking about a purge to take place at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, The Purge is a popular movie where crime becomes legal. And so when school went left out, about 100 high school students were met by police in riot gear. That's how Baltimore's terrifying night began and continues.
City on fire. Deep into the night in parts of Baltimore, cars and buildings ablaze. The violence doesn't stop. The looting doesn't stop, despite a family's plea.
I want y'all to get justice for my son, but don't do it like this here.
The outrage unleashed after the funeral of Freddie Gray, who died last week after suffering a spinal cord injury while in Baltimore police custody.
The Freddie Gray situation was just the straw that broke the camel's back for real.
Several police officers injured from rocks and bottles thrown at them as officials struggle to regain control.
So most of those rioters are just being opportunistic, right? This isn't a protest about the police treatment of Freddie Gray or the police and their constant struggles with their community, right? This is just people who are seeing an opportunity to loot.
Well, the protests were going on in a different section of Baltimore than where this happened. So I think it's important to make that distinction because a lot of people keep saying, oh, well, you can't riot these people. The protesters and the rioters are
different
two
parts
different
of the
factions.
City.
Yeah.
Right. Burning churches down, burning down a senior citizen home. I mean, all of that has nothing to do with the very legitimate questions about what happened with Freddie Gray. Allie, I know that you were concerned that we would sound like a bunch of white people trying to understand the inner city.
Yeah.
That's why we have a Kevin Bean African-American correspondent, our good friend Anel Rivers, who was black listener number one on this program when it came on the air back in the 90s, joins us on K-Rock right now. Hey, Anel, what's going on, man?
What's up, dog?
True or false, you literally are going to Maryland this week.
I am going to Maryland day after tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
For a TV?
Did you have this plan before?
Yes, I'm taking orders. Right. So if you guys give me stuff now, I can have it shipped back. UPS store, drop ship, no problem.
I want a boat. Can you get me a boat?
You know, last time somebody tried to hide in a boat during a manhunt, did that end well for
you? Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. All seriousness aside, Anel, what the hell, right?
Yeah, you know, okay, first of all, Allie, thank you very much for highlighting something very important that I really do think a lot of the media has overlooked here is that we're talking about two completely different events that are happening in Baltimore. Okay, now, you guys, most of my family's from the DMV, so I got firsthand knowledge from on the ground of what's going on here.
That's okay. D.C., Maryland, Virginia, for folks who don't know
DMV, yes, not the area, yeah. That's the little, what we call that area, Virginia, Maryland, District of Columbia area. Okay. So basically, There is an actual peaceful protest going on where you had individuals who were simply exercising their right to assemble and march upon City Hall to protest, you know, the death of the poor young man. Now, unfortunately, what you have is a small faction that has broken off and has proceeded to just take this into somewhere it does not need to go.
The Purge. They took it into the Purge is what they did, like the guy said on the news.
But the Purge is a movie. And in this fictional movie, the police say, go crazy, we're not going to do anything.
You know, here's the deal with that whole purge mentality. Baltimore is effed up when they're not writing. Have you ever been to Baltimore, people?
I used to live in Baltimore. A lot of those communities that they were showing on the news last night are places that I used to live and work. I mean,
well they should be burned and sterilized after you've been there.
That's true.
But no, like, they filmed The Wire in Baltimore for a reason.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, this city is bad enough, and you really do have a large segment of the population who was underserved, not just by police, but by, you know, public service, and I mean, you know the deal, Dean. You know, you've lived in the area. I mean, there are sections of that city where it's not uncommon to go, you know, weeks, if not a month, without having your trash picked up.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're, you know, it's just crazy now.
But now, here's what, I'm sorry to interrupt, sir, but I mean, I feel like everybody's saying the right things. The police is coming out, the mayor's coming out, you know, the family of Freddie Gray is coming out, the family of Dr. Martin Luther King are coming out, and they're all saying the right things, which is, this is not the way to get attention. But it seems like for some people, they feel like this is the only way to get attention. Like, we've tried it the other way for decades, and we still are being harassed by the police, and we still can't get a job, and we still, you know, whatever the complaint is. And I think it seems like there is a segment of the population who feels like this is the only way to call attention to the strife in their neighborhoods. Is that legitimate that people feel that way?
Well, the only way that I can even liken it for, you know, and I'm sorry for you people, to understand is, imagine being stuck on the other side of a door and knocking on that door and banging on that door and seeing a party going on inside, seeing food, seeing drink, seeing warmth, banging on the door, but nobody will answer the door. You know what I mean? No matter how hard we ring, no matter whether we ring, no matter whether we knock, whether we go to a window, whether we go to the chimney, we just cannot get into that party. And that party is equality in the hands of the police. I mean, listen, man, I am almost 40 years old. I would have had my ass whooped by the police.
But they did the right thing in your case.
Well, yeah, I deserved it. Okay. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, but what happened to Freddie Gray was deserved. You know, I was a little bit rusty. Now, just so you guys know, you know, I am a riot veteran, okay? I was there in 92. Okay, was there at Cal Records in 94 for the Weenie Roast riot, okay?
Yeah,
that was awesome. And, you know, I'll be headed to Baltimore. And, I mean, like, you know, like I said, I do have family, and I'm not going to start trouble, but, I mean, these are areas, unfortunately, that I have to, you know, pass through in order to, you know, to achieve what I'm going to go do. I'm going to marry someone, by the way, which is a horrible idea.
What?
Yeah, man. Oh, you know, man, hey, that's a minister on Nail Rivers. They call me the Velvet Preacher.
So what you're saying is, you understand the frustrations of those in the community, but this clearly isn't the answer, right?
Well, there's two ways you can go about it. I mean, the way I look at it is, I've always chosen to take the route of trying to change the system from within. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a lot easier to open a door from inside the house than it is to try to kick the door in.
But they have a ton of black police officers. They have a black mayor.
Yeah. For what it's worth, I think that could be part of the problem. Is that because, you know, just like with Obama, you know, when he went into office, people acted like all of a sudden racism went away. You know what I mean? Because, oh, you got a black president, now shut up. You know what I mean? And while there is a certain degree of satisfaction that does come from having a black mayor and a black police chief and even a black president, it does not affect the entire country at the same time, fairly on the same level. You know, you do have some affluent black people that have, you know, have done better since Obama got in there, myself included, you know, good looking up. You know what I'm saying? But, like, you also have a lot of people out there who aren't able to get the certain things that they need, who aren't able to get basic public services. More importantly, there is absolutely no reason why a young man should be taken into custody for whatever crime and end up with a severed spinal cord.
All right. Do we know how that happened yet? We don't, right?
They don't know anything. I mean, that's the thing, is nobody's talking. You know what I mean? The police say, well, we don't know.
So they arrested him. They put him in the police car, and he ended up with a broken spine and ended up dying.
And he looked like he already had a broken spine or something close to it when they were dragging him into that van. I mean, he was in bad shape, and they've come out and said since, we screwed up. He should have had medical attention on the scene before we put him in the van to arrest him.
You know, something you guys don't realize, and this is from having been taken down, you know, by police in harsh manners before, is that they don't exactly coordinate. They don't say, all right, you go high, you go low. Somebody hits you, and then somebody else hits you. And then those nightsticks are magnificently heavy. I mean, you've probably never been hit with anything harder in your life than a nightstick or a mag light. I mean, it's literally just like a 2x4 to the head. So, unfortunately, if you hit somebody in the wrong angle, can we, you know, gang tackle, yeah, you're going to do some damage. I mean, you're, and, but obviously these cops aren't going to get up and say, well, you know, it was Johnson. He hit him in the back. No,
and that makes it all the much worse because you should have the people being accountable. The people being accountable and being, you know, prosecuted if necessary, and that would go a long way toward diffusing the situation. But that's not what's happening right now. You know, I understand that it takes time to have an investigation, but people are mad and they want some answers, right?
You know, this is such a – this is indicative of such a larger problem that, that I honestly believe begins in a home with our youth, not just black, not just white, not just Hispanic, with the youth in general. I mean, you got my generation, Generation X, and then you got their generation, which is Generation Y, didn't I leave you on the couch? You know what I'm saying? Like, these guys are just a mess. Like, I look at some of, you know, my children's peers, man, and they don't have the same level of respect that I had for police. You know, they don't have the same, you know, same, I don't know, man, there's always kind of almost a fear of God type of thing growing up. Like, you were worried about your parents or your neighbors or your teachers, you know, things getting back to the people that looked over you. These kids don't have that fear.
I'm glad you brought that up, Anel, and we're going to have to take a break here in a second, but tell me you saw the video of the mom who went out there and went full cookie on her kid who was throwing rocks at the police and gave him a beatdown.
That's the last rock he ever going to throw in his life.
That's what they need more of, is they need more of those parents going out and saying to those kids, what are you doing? What are you doing?
In 92, my mother looked at me and said, if you go outside that door, I'm going to bust you. You know, I didn't listen. But
right, you went out. But... All right, last question for you. This is the voice of our friend Anel Rivers here on the Kevin Bean Show talking about the Freddie Gray riots going on in Baltimore right now. And please, Tyree, you hang on. We are going to get to you in a second here, too. What should the police have done yesterday differently than they did, rather than just sit back and let that CVS burn?
Well, I'll tell
how
you what.
How could they handle it? Like, are they outnumbered? Is this impossible?
That's something that every police force needs to understand, is that you are always outnumbered, okay? You are never going to have more police than civilian in any scenario.
Right, but the reason I asked at the beginning of this, being if they were targeted, is because if they are overwhelmingly short on numbers, then they're not going to go in there and take that CVS back until they have numbers. Right.
Well, you know how this works. First of all, like I said, Ryan Veteran here. The next step will be the National Guard.
Right. Okay? That's already been called.
And they will shoot you. Okay, make it very clear. The National Guard carries rubber bullets and beanbags, and they're not afraid to use them. Okay, we found that out the hard way in 92.
Now,
okay.
is that what should be done, Anel? Do you agree with that? I mean, do these people deserve to be shot with rubber bullets?
I don't agree with any type of form of violence. I think you should always try to talk it out. But, I mean, at the same time, people, you're burning your own neighborhoods down. You're not going to the white neighborhoods. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's going to Silver Spring. Nobody's going to Rockville. You know what I'm saying? They're in Baltimore. They're burning down stuff that they're going to have to use. Man, I still haven't seen the store that I used to use in L.A. rebuilt in 20 years since 92. Wow. You know, these stores that burned down. CVS is not coming back to that corner. You know what I mean? So congratulations to every genius who threw a rock or a Molotov through that window. You don't have to go across town to get your pharmaceuticals.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You're not helping yourself in this situation. You're hurting yourself. Now, there's a voice that needs to be heard, no doubt. There's a different way to go about, you know, saying those things that need to be said.
And Al, as always, you bring a great perspective to the issue. We really appreciate your call. Have fun in Baltimore and be careful, all right, man?
Hey, will do. A 16-inch flat, I got you covered, Bean.
All right. Tyree's on the phone. He's a police officer. Let's not lose him. We want to talk to him right after we come back. I think the question is, what should happen next? How should the police handle this? What would you like to see? I mean, it was so frustrating, I think, for so many of us watching what was going down on the TV yesterday. What would you like to see happen next, and how do we avoid this from happening next time? We'd love to take your calls here on the Kevin Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. A quick break. We'll come right back after this on K-Rock. Like many people, I was watching the TV yesterday thinking, why doesn't somebody do something about this? How is the camera on these blocks, block after block in the city of Baltimore that are just being torn down and set on fire? Where are the police? Let's talk to a guy who might know the answer to that. He is a police officer. Tyree joins us from Santa Clarita. Hi, Tyree. Welcome to Kevin Beach, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. And yourself?
Good. Thanks for holding on. Now, you are an African-American and a police officer, so I am fascinated to hear what your perspective is. I'm sure you have been glued to your TV much like the rest of us have.
Yes, I have. It's crazy to watch what's going on out there, because what kills me is, you know, there are people out there trying to help out, like the firefighters, and out there cutting fire hoses, and these people are on TV burning down their own property. And then they complain about how we don't have jobs, but you sit there and take away the jobs from people who have jobs at those places that you just burned down.
Right.
So it makes the whole thing pointless. What is the point of destroying your own stuff when you have to fix it at some point? And it's going to take maybe decades to fix some of the damages that you guys have made.
And by the way, a lot of people have brought that up because Baltimore had, much like Los Angeles, did some very serious riots back in 1968, and there are still neighborhoods that haven't come back from that. What was your reaction when you heard Anell's thoughts on what's going through the mind of some of the people who are out there rioting?
I'm assuming that dude's just a comedian, because who on their right mind thinks that, okay, because I'm watching you eat, I'm going to go eat by burning down my stuff? That makes no sense whatsoever. That's flat out ignorant, and I'm sad for everyone in Boston, Baltimore, because they have to deal with that for the next couple generations. I remember when I was a little kid watching the riots, I remember National Guard tanks rolling down Crenshaw Boulevard, yep. And that stuck in my mind for a really long time. That's why I ended up being a police officer myself, and it's just sad.
The National Guard is the right call now? Is that what we'll see on the streets today?
I mean, if the people in charge there aren't going to do anything, you have no choice, really.
I don't think there's any other option. I mean, maybe they handled it wrong all along the way, but at this point, there's really no other option.
It's out of control. What about, you can be easily outnumbered. There are always going to be more rioters than there are police, right? I mean, that must be something that scares you as a law enforcement officer, to know that one day you might be in that situation.
I mean, the thing is, I've been in that situation. I trust the people that I work with, and I trust my leadership for the most part, that they're going to make the right decisions from the start, as opposed to just having me standing on the line taking rocks and bottles. That was a real issue. Me and my partners were watching that on TV last night, and we were like, why aren't they just doing anything? Why are they just standing there being targets for people throwing stuff at their face? Why don't you just please have somebody come up and help these guys out? But it didn't happen.
Yeah. And how much of a role does the media play in all of that? With cameras on you at all times, people don't want to do the wrong thing.
It's not that they don't want to do the wrong thing. They don't want to do the wrong thing, and they don't want to look silly on national TV.
Right.
If you go out there and do the wrong thing, and then all of a sudden you say, all right, now it's time to stop taking rocks and bottles, and the cameras are there, cops might be a little apprehensive about doing their job, because all of a sudden they're going to be the next cop with their name on Facebook,
yeah,
right,
or something like that, because, you know, it's just not safe. But at the same time, you have to do something. You just can't stand there.
Yeah, you can't just let the city burn. Exactly. All right, Tyree, you're awesome, man. Thank you for your service, and thank you for the call. We really appreciate hearing from you today on the Kevin Bean Show, okay?
Thank you. Love the show. Have a
you
good
bet. One. Let's go to Tim. He's LAPD. He's in Los Angeles. He's on line 4. Let's see what he thinks. Hey, Tim, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are the cops doing, and what should they be doing next?
Well, they're basically doing all that they can do. It's a very delicate situation. Like you said, the cops are always outnumbered. Always outnumbered, and you have to look at the situation to see what it's worth. You see, cops in there outnumbered, the crowd will take them over, and then everybody results to a deadly force or a force that, you know, can make the situation worse. So you got to work with the situation. It's hard to see, especially not people watching. You know, some people are like, the riders, like, oh, we're winning. And everyone else is like, well, why aren't they doing anything? We're trying to do our job with the least amount of damage done. And it might, someone who doesn't know what's going on, it looks like nothing's being done, but trust me, they're doing what they can. So there's a lot of innocent people out there. Like Kevin said before, or Arnell said before, there are two different types of people. There are rioters, and then there are protesters. Protesters are out there doing what their rights are to do. Most of those rioters are the people who they have that entitlement mentality.
I feel like they're getting away with it, though. That's what's so frustrating. I feel like I wanted somebody to throw a net over all the kids going in and out of CVS and just drag them off and put them all in jail for a year. But it just seems like they're able to go out and do whatever they want and then just go back home and get up today and do it again. That's what's so frustrating.
That's going to require a pretty big net.
Yes, that's what's needed is a big net.
And believe it or not, that is what some of them are doing. I know you guys know about the anarchists back in other riots and whatnot. We have a unit that goes around. These guys are organized, and whenever something like this flares up, they send groups out to get this started, to get police to overreact like that, to get them to try and throw that extra mode, to give them more, give them more power, more say so. So you have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I mean, it's a tinderbox, and it's certainly easy for the police to make a misstep, and that's what they're trying to avoid, and that's why it takes so much time. I understand that. All right, I'm glad you called, Tim. Thanks so much. So curfew now. They're canceling baseball games. A lot of things going on that you can't be out on the street in an American city in 2015 after 10 o'clock at night. This is crazy
in schools,
times.
Schools. I mean, the kids that need to be in school to have some semblance of a routine, and they're closing schools.
Yeah.
This is just, it's insane.
It's sad, and I don't like it. And I think we're all thinking the same thing.
Fire beer mug.
Woo for you.
Stop it, Adam Sandler.
It's not Adam Sandler.
It's Adam Sandler. It's George Who else
Ezra.
Could it be?
George Ezra.
I'm making movies and the Indians don't like me. Ooh, do.
I think Ralph's got something there. Hard to argue with that. Hey,
who's that guy?
Robin Lord Taylor's
right,
coming
he's
in,
coming
the actor.
On. I love him on Gotham. He plays,
What's that guy's name? I can't think of the character.
Well, he plays Penguin, but his real name, you mean?
Yeah, what is
Robin
that, Kevin?
Robin Lord Taylor in studio. He is Oswald Cobblepot on... Robin Lord Taylor, the Penguin himself from Gotham, and will be joining us in studio. Robin Lord Taylor, he plays the... Robin Lord Taylor.
Who does
talking,
he play?
He plays the Penguin.
But
yeah,
his
but what's
actual
the Penguin's
name?
Real
what's
name? What's
his name?
His full name?
They're asking me this because I took, 30 minutes, and I couldn't get Oswald Cobble... Pot.
Yeah.
But we love Gotham. We're excited to have him tomorrow
morning.
You
speak like a guy with a broken spine walks. Very carefully.
So he will be joining us, Mr. Robin Lord Taylor, right after the top of the hour. Rob's here now, time for the showbiz beat on a Tuesday.
You ever see the guys who rehabbing and using the parallel bars, and they're just sort of inching themselves along that long path?
Yeah.
Sounds like when Kevin talks.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a huge standee, a cardboard standee of Batman in my part of the office there.
Yes.
Think it's going to scare Robin off?
Probably not.
Sure?
You've got a huge something for Batman.
Did you see when Bruce was looking at all the shooting galleries, all the gun shops in Gotham, when he was looking for the guy who stabbed Alfred, and Oswald walked past where Bruce was and he went, and he's got a chill run down his spine. You can tell, man. It's coming. Future. Okay,
but he's an actor. He's not really the Penguin. And you're a Batman fan. You're not really Batman.
God, I hate you so much. Let's talk about show business news. Congratulations to William Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins.
Billy Corgan?
Billy?
What? Nope, sorry.
It's William.
It's not Billy?
Yeah. He's got a brand new side job. He's not only leader of the Smashing Pumpkins. Now he's creative and talent development for TNA Wrestling. What? What's going on?
He's been into wrestling his whole life.
He's going to come up with the new characters and storylines for Impact Wrestling and other TNA programming that airs on Destination America. Apparently that's a thing.
Jeez.
Where you can watch television. Billy formed his own company, Resistance Pro Wrestling, in Chicago, but he left that in 2014. So he had to move on to real wrestling, TNA.
But not even WWE.
Well, no, they wouldn't have him. But you can see it airing on Destination America.
Sure.
That's
good.
A channel that we get.
A channel? Somewhere?
Somewhere.
Is that on TV or is that online?
I believe it's on TV.
Let's see. Destination America. It looks like a real show, you guys.
Hmm.
It's an American digital cable and satellite channel. All right, if you say so. It's been around since 1996. We've never watched it one time.
We're
even
by accident. America. Whoa! I just love their theme song.
They have Impact Wrestling. They also have a show called Buying the Bayou. They have another show called Ghost Asylum and one called Mountain Monsters.
That's alleged.
That is alleged. Because these may be just made-up shows.
Okay.
We should play a new game. Real TV show? Or Destination America show.
I like it.
Yeah. And if you had a chance to talk to Stephen Hawking, are you okay? What's going on with you over there?
Treehouse Masters. I've watched that. I just got excited. Sorry.
You're over there looking around and dancing. I thought you won the lottery. Stephen Hawking, if you could ask him a question, well, if you could ask his hologram a question, what would it be? He did a evening with Stephen Hawking via hologram to the Sydney Opera House from his home in Cambridge, England. So he's there in England. They're shooting him, and then they project him via hologram onto the stage at the Sydney Opera House.
That's pretty cool.
It's the next best thing to teleportation, really. You can be in one place and then get beamed to the other.
I really thought after Tupac showed up at Coachella a few years ago that we were going to see a lot more of that. We were going to be able to go see Elvis and the Beatles and bands like that that are no longer with us in a hologram form.
It's still it's gimmicky. I don't think anyone's found a way to use it sort of in a legitimate way.
This looked pretty good. Dr. Hawking's speech.
He gave a speech and then he took questions from the audience, including this thought-provoking one. What do you think is the cosmological effect of Zayn leaving One Direction and consequently breaking the hearts of millions of teenage girls across the world? Finally, someone asked a super genius a question that has some relevance, and I think Stephen Hawking appreciated it.
What do you think is the cosmological effect of Zayn leaving One Direction and consequently breaking the hearts of millions of teenage girls across the world?
Finally, a question about something important. My advice to any heartbroken young girl is to pay close attention to the study of theoretical physics. Because one day, there may well be proof of multiple universes. It would not then be beyond the realms of possibility that somewhere outside of our own universe lies another different universe. And in that universe, Zayn is still in One Direction. This girl may even like to know that in another possible universe, she and Zayn are happily married.
See? All things are possible through physics.
It's science.
It's science. There's...
He's very funny and very charming, Stephen Hawking.
There's a universe where Kevin can say Oswald Cobblepot.
Yeah, that'd be a cool universe.
You know what his middle name is?
Oswald?
Yeah.
No.
Chesterfield, come on.
I didn't know that.
Oswald Chesterfield Cobblepot. We all know that.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
How great's Carol Kane, by the way, as his mother, Gertrude? Good. She is terrifying and hilarious all at the same time.
Is she... I don't want to sidetrack. Is that creepy to you?
You find the relationship creepy, and I don't.
I do.
Is it a little Bates Motel for you?
How can you not find it creepy, Allie?
I don't find it creepy.
She's in love with her son.
Yes,
totally.
That's what I thought. 100%. She just honors him.
No way.
She doesn't see what we see.
You're out of your head.
She sees the beauty of young Oswald.
That relationship scares me more than Bates Motel.
See, I don't think.
She's head over heels in love with him. Before even the stuff with the Iceberg Lounge happened, before the bar opened, if he showed up late, if he didn't show up at home or whatever, she would freak out.
Well, because they live together. She looks out for him. It's not edible.
You are clueless.
Nope.
Why don't we bring this up with Robin Lord Taylor?
What would he know about it, Bean? We're having a conversation here. You mind not butting in?
Sorry.
Your dumb ideas?
It felt like he might have an insight on it.
Better than us? I don't think so.
Right?
Hello. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jessica Alba's 34 years old today. Penelope Cruz turns 41. Jorge Garcia from Lost. And now Hawaii Five-0, 42 years old today. Violent J from Insane Clown Posse. He's 43. Bridget Moynihan's 45. Too Short. 49 years old.
That's not Chip. You're not just talking about Chip?
And Jay Leno celebrates his 65th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as beat.
Hey, don't forget, Friday morning at noon. I should say Friday afternoon, Friday morning, noon. Let's just say noon on Friday is when you can buy your tickets if you're a street team member for the KROQ Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2015. Just announced yesterday morning here on the Kevin Bean Show. Florence and the Machine and Death Cab for Cutie of Monsters and Men. Panic at the Motel. Panic at the Disco State Motel. Walk the Moon and so much more. All Time Low getting a lot of love online. We're very excited to have them on their first ever KROQ show. Anyway, all the details at KROQ.com. Please be ready to buy those tickets when they go on sale at noon. It's going to be great. May 16th at the Irvine Meadows Amphitheater.
Avengers 2 comes out this weekend.
Yes.
This is the headline of this article, Avengers 2 Superheroes at the Service of the Gay Satanism.
I think that's obvious, Kevin.
How
did you not notice that?
What
Apparently, the dangerous messages delivered within the movie, it is a neo-capitalist, homosexual, promoting deadly sin movie, Avengers 2. And we
this sounds
don't...
like it was written by me, like I talk.
apparently, this is very legitimate. This is a website called ChristNews.org. It is based in France, and they are fundamentalist Christians, basically. And they have, I mean, they have just basically, they've taken apart the Avengers movies, and they have talked about how, you know, all of the characters are flawed. You know, they look at Tony Stark as Iron Man, for instance, you know, and how much he hates humanity and how they reject anything that's not just how to make money and whatnot. I mean, they got a lot of complaints about this movie. But rather than us try to explain where they're coming from, we thought we'd get a representative on from the church. And I believe it's Reverend Jean-Luc St. Marie who joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock right now. Hi, Reverend. Thanks so much for coming on, sir.
Oh, thank you for having me on this.
Avengers 2, superheroes at...
spit on you for saying those words.
Superheroes at the service of the gay Satanism.
That's
now,
right.
A lot of us have just gone to these movies and just enjoyed them, and they're just cartoon fun.
Well, I hope then when you're done watching your movie, you enjoyed the gay Satan butt sex.
Well, here's the thing. I saw the Avengers at the theater probably.
Oh, man, how much butt sex did you have?
Probably three or four times, and it never really occurred.
Three or four times your butt sex?
No. I saw the movie three or four times.
Why do you think it would turn people gay to see an Avengers movie? I don't even understand the connection.
These movies are filled with characters that are all in the service of a gay Satan.
But okay,
like how and who?
Ah, don't be so naive, you stupid American.
Give us an example.
I said, look at Iron Man.
Iron Man. Okay.
He is a billionaire. Capitalist pig.
Okay.
Who cares nothing for the women in his life. He treats them like a poo-poo caca. But all the time, he'll run around with his friends in the tights, ooh la la, he say, with his big iron boner.
So, in other words, rather than spending time with the many beautiful women that
Where's
surround
him... Where's the pepper pots into this film?
Right, exactly.
Where's the lovely pepper pots who I would have sex with all the time?
And instead, he's hanging out with Hulk, who's a big, muscular guy in shorts.
Yeah, don't get me started with the Hulk, who is a homosexual dream come true. Where's the smarty pants, who, if I get him excited enough, will become a giant green penis?
Does he become a penis?
No.
What do you think he's hiding behind the purple pants?
Okay, but what about Hulk
and... green zucchini.
Oh. Maybe an eggplant. What about Hulk and Black Widow,
eggplant
though?
Eggplant or purple, you silly girl!
That's why, okay. Hulk and Black Widow, though, they're going to be together, so...
That's heterosexual.
Right.
Yeah, it's a woman having sex with a mutant. Satan would like that, I think.
Oh, what? Satan. I
do
see.
It a lot, but...
How about Thor? Oh, Thor with his long, flowing hair. Oh, look at me with my long hair. I must be gay!
Well,
I don't get this.
You're stretching a bit on every...
Would you like to hold my hammer? I am Thor with the long hair. Why don't you grab onto my hammer?
Now, you suggest on your website, Reverend, that he has an incestuous relationship with his brother Loki. How come?
Right. Look at Loki. What kind of hair does he have? Also long, I say.
Well, what difference does that make?
Long hair doesn't make somebody gay.
How long hair? Try telling that to that guy, you know, who has long hair and who's gay.
That guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are incestuous gay brothers.
Uh-huh. Are you sure?
First of all, and lastly.
Yes. I feel like they hate each other.
They come from a place called Asgard.
They do. That's true.
That is actually true.
You go there, you literally have to guard your ass. They will have a butt sex with you.
Okay, are you sure?
Open up your eyes, America.
Is it possible, as it is in so many of these cases, that you are protesting because maybe you find, I don't know, Thor kind of dreamy?
The fact that you say that to me. What? I'm sorry. I surrender. Sorry, point of habit.
Actor Robin Lord Taylor, back on the Kevin DeBean Show. He is Oswald Cobblepot on Fox's Gotham. Season finale Monday night. Now, we're all excited to see you, Robin, but Rob has been making it sound like this is going to be some sort of a throwdown. What's going on, Rob?
Well, my whole life I have lived and breathed Batman.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So to be sitting across from the Penguin,
I feel like I should hit him.
I think I'm obliged.
Is it going to go down? Is it going to go down?
I mean, everyone hits him, so he would just be one in a billion.
That's true. Poor Oswald. No wonder he grows up to be such a bad dude.
Oh, you know, he kind of earned it. He deserved it. Yeah. He's asking for it.
So we haven't seen you in a while. Yeah. Have you fallen even more deeply in love with this character that you get to play on Gotham?
Oh, totally. Absolutely. I mean, you know, you get the scripts, and then, I never know what. I don't ask ahead in advance of what's going to happen to Oswald or where, right. You know, where we're going to go, because I like it to be, you know, as close to the character as I like to be as close to the character, you know, as I can be, which is like what's happening to him. I want it to be sort of like it's happening to me.
You want it to have it be fresh.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. I want it to be fresh. And so like, you know. But, like, so, yeah, when I get a script and I find out, you know, what shenanigans he's getting into. And, like, and also, like, how, like, he just gets smarter and smarter. And that just is so exciting to play. And, yes. Like, you know, it just – and again, like, it just, you know – every day gets more and more, like, you know, I'm just so excited to be there and get into it.
It's got to freak you out, too. Your character and the way you're playing him has just – blown people's minds. You're essentially the most popular character on this show. Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Ralph's looking at you, Allie, because it's Batman here. It's not...
I know, but
well,
the Penguin
yet.
Is
just a little
shining.
Red kid at this
well,
point.
Well, little Bruce Wayne. He doesn't
I
come
think
in.
Oh, that fish Mooning work is wow. The most popular.
She is incredibly popular.
She is insane.
She deserves every
Jada
bit
is insane
of it.
On that show.
So good on the show, and like, and again, I say this a billion times, she is so nice and so down to earth, and like unbelievably, you know, embracing of the cast, the crew, everybody. I just, yeah, I can't say enough good things about her.
Because I am sort of a hardcore Batman fan. A lot of my friends and people, even are listeners to the show, say, "What do you think of Gotham? What do you think of Gotham?" And although I certainly see the shared DNA between the two properties, Gotham really has become its own sort of thing, which is this great gangster cop show.
Yeah,
you know, as I was
right.
Watching the most recent episode, and then we got a screener for the season finale, it plays almost like, reminds me of Brian De Palma's Untouchables with Al Capone and Elliot Ness, and
yes.
It's got that vibe of just good versus evil and all the shades of gray in between. It's just become its own thing, which I think must be fun for you guys.
Oh my God, so it's fun for all of us, and like, and also, yeah, it's really cool to be part of something that's doing just doing something a little bit different with the genre, in the sense that, like, you know, it's not your traditional superhero show where, you know, first episode is when, you know, the superhero discovers his powers, and then from there we go. You know what I mean? Nothing wrong with that. Like, shows like The Flash are fantastic. I mean, there's just like a renaissance of shows on television that.
But there's 100 ways to do every single project.
Exactly.
And yours is unique.
And ours is, and it's really great to be part of something that's doing just, you know, like, just taking like that little extra different step, which, you know, is so gratifying to be part of that family and part of that crew. Is
I think
amazing.
The character of Batman lends itself more to that because there are no superpowers to be discovered or whatever. So you're not handcuffed by that. You don't have to have that moment of revelation. You can just watch the characters develop.
Yeah, exactly. And, it, you know, we really get into the psychology of these characters and really try and make them as, you know, three-dimensional as possible. Like, the goal is to make it, as I think with every incarnation of Batman, some more successful than others, but, like, to really make it, because Batman has no superpowers, he's a guy, he's bound by, you know, the laws of relativity.
Sure, yeah, that's right.
And all of those.
The real world has an effect
gravity
on
gravity and
exactly.
All that.
Exactly. And so, you know, like, yeah, so it's about bringing, you know, it's about, again, like, about the psychology of these characters and you know, they're, and making them so as if you could see them existing in real life.
And
know?
Oswald would be, if you were watching some other property, just be a gangster who's trying to make his way up the food chain because he wants to become the head don of any city.
Oh, know? Yeah,
so
totally.
That's, it's been great.
Exactly.
Is
yeah.
It fun to play that kind of character where at the beginning, you're pretty much getting the crap beat out.
Yeah, you're a weasel. You're a little weasel.
And then as the season goes along, like, you've been getting smarter and smarter. People still look
gaining
at you.
Gaining power.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Is that a fun transition to play?
It really is. And, like, and honestly, like, I love it when he fails. Like, I'm like, because, again, like, that gives us so much. We have so far to go, you know, and it would be, like, it'd be too easy, and it wouldn't be as gratifying, I think, if, like, we started the show with him just smooth sailing right up to
you go back to snivel mode pretty quickly when things turn.
Oh, yeah,
what
totally.
It looks like when you're in trouble, you go right back to sort of kowtowing and kissing ass again.
Yeah, that's my happy place.
I love this scene. We have a scene we want to play. Robin Lord Taylor in the studio here on the Kevin Beach Show. Kevin, what's his character's name on Gotham, if you wouldn't mind?
The Penguin.
but what's the character's actual name though? Not the Penguin.
Oswald Cobblepot.
Hey!
Well done. Got it. Nailed it.
He's been practicing at home in front of a mirror.
Low expectations are important.
I love this scene we have a clip from. This is when Jim Gordon comes in. He's trying to get some information out of you as to where he might get a lead on finding the ogre. And he is in your face. You are in his face. You guys are practically kissing. You're so close. You can even tell just listening to this how intense and how cool this is. Listen up.
Jim, I do so love our give and take relationship, but it's starting to feel a bit one-sided.
Fine. I'll owe you a favor.
You already do.
Then I'll owe you another.
Cards on the table?
You think you know who I am? What I'm capable of? You have no idea.
Today is an important day for me, so I will accommodate your request. But you owe me a big favor. Snivel.
That's
snivel,
not going to come
snivel,
out.
Snivel,
when he pulls a gun, you are full snivel mode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, yeah. You have to give Ben McKenzie such credit because in a show populated with colorful, crazy characters, he is sort of the center of that insane universe, and he grounds it all so beautifully.
So incredibly. And he, yeah, like you said, I mean, he has the hardest job of any of us. I mean, we
but
get
the
to
best
go
haircut.
He really does.
He has a good haircut.
Yes, he does have an excellent haircut. But yeah, like the fact, you, yeah, playing the straight man to all of these crazy, colorful characters is not easy. And then to make it, like, you know, to make him, like, as, like, interesting to everybody is such a hard thing to do. And
yeah,
he
he's not boring at all,
it,
you know. You
it.
Still root for him each and every week.
Robin Lord Taylor is here. We need to take a break.
No!
You're a bad person!
We have to take a break.
You're a jerk.
Last night was unbelievable. The season finale is Monday at 8
oh
on Fox.
Oh, my God, the finale.
But
boy, it all happens.
We want to ask you about your relationship with your mom. Yeah.
Oh.
So consider that for a second.
Okay.
And we'll take a break and come right
back. I can call him delightful. I would say that's accurate. Wouldn't you
sure,
guys?
Sure, absolutely.
Robin Lord Taylor, the delightful Robin Lord Taylor.
And he smells great, too. I don't know what that scent is. It smells awesome.
And he's wearing a suit and a tie. He's like a grown-up.
I think he's fooling us all. I think there's bad things in store.
He doesn't walk with that one foot out to the side, which I was looking for when he got here. I was kind of disappointed, but it's okay.
I need a break, you guys. Come on.
He went to a chiropractor.
Exactly.
He plays Oswald Cobblepot, the Penguin, on Fox's Gotham. Season finale is going to be this Monday night at 8. By the way, we had Marina Baccarin on a couple of weeks ago, and I said to her, I can't believe that this is still the first season of Gotham. Doesn't it
That's
seem
how
like,
I feel.
Oh, man,
right?
So much has been on forever.
It's been, yeah, it's 22 episodes, and they're full episodes. I mean, again, like we were talking in the break, like the amount of characters that we introduce in the show and keeping them all interesting. You know, I mean, so there's a wealth of material there.
Oh, sure.
All right, speaking of the characters, let's talk about your mom on the show.
Oh, the delightful Carol Kane.
Yeah. First, let's touch on Carol Kane because I'm just a huge, huge fan of her work. Has been since the 70s. My God, she's been working forever.
Taxi. Annie Hall.
Yes.
When a Stranger Calls.
Of course,
I'm going to go through her.
And you may also remember her from Princess Bride. She was Miracle Max's wife, of course.
Yes.
But what an amazing actress and what a great time you must have working opposite
just
her.
Just incredible. Stop me if I told the story before, but like, so I found out, I got the second script of the whole season, found out that I had a mom. And I, you know, freaked out. I was really excited about it. We didn't have a scene together, but whatever. And so I, and for some reason earlier that day, I'd been on some stupid website and I was listening.
Don't
like,
do
so,
that.
So I know, right? I know. Get off the internet.
Dumb
everybody,
internet.
Everybody. And then they were listing celebrities' birthdays, and it was Carol Kane's birthday. So, and I had read this before I had gotten the script, or I had been on that website before I got the script. Get the script, find out I have a mom. Immediately, I'm like, they have to get Carol Kane. And so I text my agent, and she was like, haha, okay, calm down.
Yeah.
You know, it's
all
a
right,
big role.
Boy. Yeah, let the producers do their job.
Exactly.
Okay.
She was like, you know, slow your roll. And I was like, okay, but whatever. I was like, they have to get her. 2 days later, Danny Cannon, executive producer, texts me. He was like, Carol Kane is playing your mom.
Wow.
I'm like, I take full responsibility
you
for this.
That.
This is, I secreted
you
it.
You run the entire world.
I had
world.
An Oprah moment where I willed it into existence.
You say it here, it comes out there.
That's right.
All right, so your mom's character.
Gertrude.
and you.
Yeah.
Very Bates Motelish or not?
Very much, I think.
Thank you.
I don't know.
You are wrong about your character.
You're helping to settle a bet here in the studio because we've been arguing about this for a while.
I didn't know there was money on this. Okay.
That Kevin and I assert that Gertrude is very much in love with Oswald. There's a huge love there that goes beyond motherly with her son.
Yeah.
It's gross.
I mean, I think a lot of it, they are extremely, extremely close.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of that is because, like, in this incarnation, Oswald is a first-generation American.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They came over together from some undisclosed European
country. Someplace with a very heavy accent.
Yes. Exactly. They were all they had. I mean, honestly, they were the only people in each other's world. I mean, and if you go through the canon, you read that, you know, Oswald had no friends and was bullied because of the
shunned.
Way he looked, was shunned, you know, and all of that feeds into his ambition. Also, that all of that feeds into his very close relationship with his mother.
She wants more.
It's
Allie,
not
she
edible.
Wants more.
I don't agree with
Allie.
That. I don't agree.
You're so sweet.
Well,
Allie, week,
let's hear your defense, Allie.
Well, I feel that she's just very close with him, not in a sexual way, but and last week when she was flirting so much with Maroney, she obviously is very open to being sexual with men other
she
than
needs
her son.
I don't think
it's like sexual.
They're not actually having sex, but it definitely leans that way.
It does.
Well, because your character hasn't gone there yet. She would.
Yeah.
She would in a second.
Yeah.
No.
Just bonk my head on the microphone.
Early in the season, did she give you a bath or something? Wasn't
yes,
there
a
yes, she gave her a
yes.
bath.
You know, washed
Who
my chest.
She washed his chest
sons.
In the bathtub.
They are close.
Allie, there were soap suds on his chest from his mom.
She carried me for 9 months. That never goes away.
And then there was this. That was in the
right,
background.
That music started playing in the background.
Like, what's going on?
She's like, you have become such a strong man.
Mom, above the equator, please.
How old is
Oswald?
Penguins exist in Antarctica.
How old is Oswald? I think he was somewhere in his late 20s.
Mom is bathing you in your 20s and you're not a paraplegic, it's wrong.
Hey, I mean, you know, they're from another country. I mean, you
right.
know.
Different customs.
They probably, yeah, I mean, yeah, they probably didn't have hot water where they came from.
Right.
This is an
they
old habit.
They share it.
Die
sure.
hard.
All right, let's talk about,
I don't know.
Let's talk about the season finale Monday night because we're almost out of time here, guys.
Oh, so good.
And I know there's so much you can't say, but that clip that we played about how Jim Gordon now owes you a favor,
mm-hmm.
will that come into play next week?
Yes, it will.
Yes. That will come into play. Okay.
Yes, it will.
We have also heard, and stop me if you can't say anything, but we have also heard that Jada Pinkett Smith is wanting to leave the show after season one. Does that mean next week we will see the end of Fish Mooney?
I can't say that for sure because honestly, and this is the truth, is that you know, you never know if it's never clear, even if someone is shot in the head, if they are leaving.
The ogre's coming back.
If they are leaving Gotham City, because, you know, we established earlier in the season, we now have this character, the Dollmaker,
right.
who is basically the reanimator.
Yeah.
I mean, he has the capability of bringing people back.
And he said as much to Fish, he said, I will bring you back from the dead if I have to
you
punish
know, so
you.
So you never know what could happen. And, like, you know, so that's all I'll say about that. I don't
okay.
know. I just love her so much. There's no definitive evidence
even in the – I've had a chance to see the finale that would lead you to believe one way or the other. So it's not like you're making anything
exactly
up.
It's very intentional,
but it is nice that and this isn't a spoiler, but it's nice that the Fish and Penguin get a chance to interact again because it's been a while since you guys have been in the same shot at the
yeah
same
and I have to say, like, shooting that night was just like I would be lying if I said that I didn't completely burst into tears the second they called cut on that day, because she was your dance partner
for a lot of the show.
Exactly.
Right?
And like what she has taught me over the year about being, you know, just being in this world and navigating your way through all of this and talking to amazing people like you guys and, like, you know, just being poised. And she's taught me so much and that she just embraced me with open arms when she didn't have to. You know what I mean? Like, someone of her caliber and her career and where she is in her life, you know, interacting with me with such, you know, being so genuine and so loving. I just...
If your TV mom is listening, she's very jealous right now.
She's very upset. Hey, we won't even get into Carol. Carol is my neighbor. I would lay down in traffic.
Just saying.
Carol.
I said TV mom. I'm just putting it out there.
Okay.
Well, we are going to have to say goodbye, but Robin,
no!
you are one of...
You are one of. Did that? You call me a jerk face for having to say goodbye.
That happened.
You know this, but you, because you hear it from everybody, but you are really one of the best characters on one of the best shows on TV, and we love your work so much, and it's always great when you have some time to spend with us around the Kevin Beach Show.
Thanks
so much for coming
so
by.
Thank you so much, guys. It's always good to see you guys, and you again, thank you for watching and all of your support. Everyone on Gotham appreciates it, honestly.
Shouldn't talk about it.
What happens?
Hey, we're
That's
on the
problem.
Air.
Problem. You don't know what happens.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9.
The wheels are coming off this show today. I don't know if you guys have noticed.
This is the time for family therapy.
I think we all know which tire is flat, too, by the way. Hey, how about the show, Bisbee? Now, here's Ralph Garman on a Tuesday morning. What's going on, dude?
Well, a lot of people getting married. A lot of marriage news over the weekend. Ian Somerhalder and Nikki Reed. Congratulations to that lovely couple. Oh, it's a bunch of good-looking people right there.
Yeah, sure
is. Place, isn't it? They've been dating for 9 months and tied the knot over the weekend, so congratulations.
I love that Nikki Reed.
Yeah, she's a good deal. And Ian Somerhalder, pretty good, too.
Yeah, he is.
Nice dude.
Isn't he a vampire, too? Aren't they all vampires? He's on a vampire show, right?
Yes.
Doesn't he have a TV show?
Yes.
He's a vampire.
Yes.
She's a
Vampire Diaries.
She's a Twilight vampire.
That's right.
Right.
I don't know if she's a vampire or not. I didn't see those, but...
I didn't either. What's she doing in Twilight? Is she a vampire? Anybody know? In the other
she
room,
was a vampire! Maybe?
Thank you!
So it's good that they found each other.
You know they serve blood at this ceremony, right? Just big goblets. Everyone drink up. It's all warm. And people gagging it down.
You know that they're not vampires, though, right? In real life.
People gagging it down. Like that.
Got it.
I don't get it, man. The lovely Stana Katic broke my heart this weekend. She didn't even tell me she was engaged, and she went and got married. And really, I thought that we had a thing.
But you didn't, clearly.
Well, we kind of do.
But... Except for you don't.
Maybe she's just trying to make me jealous. He's like,
it's one way to do it.
You're all married. What? See how you feel when I get married, Ralph. Boom. She teach me a lesson.
It's not possible that she did that.
Lesson taught
from
Stana,
thinking about you.
Lesson taught.
Okay.
Chris Bricklejack. That can't be right. Brkljac.
That does sound Croatian.
It is. He's Croatian. So is Stana. They actually got married in a private family monastery in Croatia. But Brkljac. Wow, there's not nearly enough vowels in that name.
I hope she takes his last name.
I hope she does not. I hope he goes Mr. Katic. But congratulations. They're lovely people, and I couldn't be happier for her being happy. We're all happy. Aren't we all
happy?
Everyone's happy. A little TV programming note. Tonight's the night that Chicago Fire starts a three-way.
I'm sorry, what?
Chicago Fire three-way tonight.
Explain.
What means?
They all share a similar bloodline. So Chicago Fire is doing a crossover with Chicago PD.
Okay.
It's offspring. It's TV offspring. And Law & Order SVU. So they're combining all three of those shows. And all their plot lines are going to intermingle for several episodes.
Will it be ripped from the headlines?
It'll be ripped from the headlines. Bam, 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 bam.
Oh, these are so good. This is the second time they're doing this.
Why is Dave yelling at us?
Why is our studio haunted? Why am I hearing voices from beyond? Anyway,
they try this
up.
From
it's a big
time
deal.
To time on a primetime lineup if they have shows that it makes sense for. Didn't they do?
They used to do lots of crossovers back in the 70s and stuff. That was when it all started. It was a phenomenon of the 70s.
I feel like they did this one night of primetime a couple of years ago where all the shows had a flood and they all reacted to the same flood on the same night.
Right.
That sounds
right. But that was just a flood.
Right.
That guy that was yelling at us said that happens all the time with these shows.
This is characters actually entering into other shows.
Gotcha.
Like Mariska Hargitay will be heading to Chicago as part of an investigation, and that will lead her to the Chicago PD, and then Chicago, I guess something she'll catch on fire, and Chicago Fire will have to come and put her out somehow. And then it's all going to be very exciting.
Double check some of those facts.
So, good news. I remember there was an episode once of Charlie's Angels and Vegas, where they crossed paths, where Dan Tana and the Charlie's Angels met in Vegas at the same time. My head almost exploded. Hello?
My goodness.
Yeah.
Well, Laverne and Shirley and Happy Days did it.
Well, they were spinoffs. Laverne and Shirley was a spinoff of Happy Days.
After they did a crossover.
I'm so bored.
That's not how it works. You can't do a crossover if you don't have your own series. If you show up on a show and then they spin you off, that's not a crossover.
So Allie's confused by how everything works.
It really is.
Math is really hard.
Yeah.
She can't do phones. She can't do math. She doesn't understand TV.
She doesn't know how sons and mothers work.
She thinks incest is perfectly acceptable. She has a lot of issues.
What that relationship is like. Do you have parents or were you raised by wolves?
Probably bears.
Bears.
That explains the whole bear phenomenon. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jay Leno, 65 years old today. Bridget Moynihan, she's 45. Wasn't she Tom Brady's baby mama for a minute?
Still is.
Still is?
Yeah.
They had a baby together, right?
Yep.
But he never did the right thing. He dumped her.
They actually were supposedly broken up.
She got pregnant long distance?
No.
He really can. Is that good? He really can throw a bomb.
Spiral.
Yeah. 100 yards away. Just the perfect spiral. Touchdown! Baby! she's 45. Jorge Garcia is 42. Penelope Cruz is 41. And the lovely and talented Jessica Alba is 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We also have a woman who marries a carnival. So that's coming up this morning as well. We will take a break and we will come back with the showbiz.
You know. That was A Moment with Kevin.
All right, let's go to the game tape and break this one down.
We don't have time for that.
You start by saying that on the show we were going to feature a story about a woman who married a carnival.
Right.
I didn't say the word ride. No, you didn't.
But it was
implied.
Implied?
It was implied.
How can it be implied when a carnival is something that's different? Carnival is the people and the food court and the sideshow and the rides. She's going to marry the whole thing.
It's implied? I thought I'd argue the same thing with a different inflection.
Then come in next with the show report. Then Porky Pig takes over.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Look, I think you should just be happy you're getting more than your money's worth. You're getting two moments within 5 seconds, Ralph. This is the golden age.
It's like a turducken of dumb.
Right.
There's a mistake inside a mistake inside another mistake. And then you just get to carve it up at Thanksgiving and yum, 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 just eat it up.
I'm dumb. Kevin is stepping up his game, man. Let's not be down on him about that.
He just said turducken of fun. He couldn't even get that part out. Come on. What's happening?
What is happening, indeed? Right. Hey, it was fun to hear The Offspring right there from your bandmate, by the way.
Yes. My bandmate Noodles.
That's right, man.
They're going to be so sad when he's going to leave because...
Well, how can he not, though?
...becomes a phenomenon. Just an international sensation.
Very excited.
Like the One Direction of 70s cover bands.
You're going to kick Minnie Kiss's ass.
Oh, I'm going to crush Minnie Kiss. There's no Minnie Badfinger, by the way.
That's true.
We're going to own this niche. It's going to be us
alone.
Little
people, are you listening?
There's lots of AC/DC cover bands and Kiss cover bands. And
sure.
Motley Crue cover bands.
Because usually cover bands pick bands that have more than a song.
Aha. See? That's why we're smarter than the average bear. Because we are going, we're going to zag.
Imagine how tired Ralph is going to be very soon when he comes in on a Monday and we'll be like, what'd you do this week? And he's like, well, I had an Indian casino in Wisconsin had to play with a stupid worst thumb.
Just got back from Denmark for DigitCon.
Well,
another of the bad finger festivals that go on around the world.
But Finger Fest is still the best, right?
Well, it's the original. The OG is Finger Fest.
Sure.
There's DigitCon. There's Rosie Palm and the Five Fingers. That's an all-female Badfinger cover band. I don't think we're going to have to compete with her.
But, I'm very excited to hear what happens next in this journey. All right, time for the Showbiz Beat Now. Here on Tuesday, here's Ralph.
This makes me happy. VH1 has decided to bag any plans to do a Osbournes reunion series.
What happened now?
That's surprising because didn't it get great ratings when it was on?
Initially, yeah.
Initially, okay.
But Sharon Osbourne has told the panel on The Talk that they were going to do 6 or 8 new episodes, and the purpose would be to catch up on their lives and see where they are now. However, Variety is reporting VH1 has just canceled any plans to revisit the Osbournes, citing scheduling and availability difficulties for the various Osbournes. I guess hard to get them all in one place, or hard to get anyone to care. I'm not sure which one that was. But there are three competitive barber shows on the air.
That's true.
There's no room for the Osbournes? I think it would pale.
That was a moment,
yes,
I think.
Yes, I think it would pale in comparison.
Yeah.
New report says NBC, while we're talking about television, is leaking details about Brian Williams to force his retirement.
I saw a story yesterday that they were looking into more lies that he told.
There's further investigations. And some reports say that NBC is now leaking these details to the press in order to force him to step down, to resign.
Okay.
Which wouldn't surprise me. I'm sure they would like him just to go away and this whole thing to go away.
I don't know. They are losing ground to ABC, you know, since Brian's been off the network.
Well, I think it's because they're sitting between two chairs. They haven't named a successor, and they don't know whether it's him or not. They have his temp guy in there. I think people are uneasy with the situation.
Right.
Brian says that this does not concern him. This isn't half as bad as what he witnessed when he was on the Titanic. He said. So I guess.
Strange.
He's seen worse.
That happened.
That's right. Madonna's still a cougar after all these years. Material Girl has a new boyfriend named Andrea Denver.
All right, can we guess how old he is?
Sure, you want to?
How old's Madonna? Game.
Let me give you a little description first.
Okay, please.
Andrea Denver, 8-pack. Muscular model.
Okay.
How old is she?
She is 56 years of age, Allie McKay.
He's 23.
Boom!
Oh!
On the nose!
Wow!
Nice.
Well done.
Now we know there's two things that Allie's good at. Naming movies with proms in them.
Yeah.
And guessing the ages of young men she'd like to bang.
True. Thank you for noticing.
23.
That's how she rolls.
It is how she rolls. You know a person who rolls? Stephen Hawking.
Because he can't walk.
He had a big weekend. He was at the Sydney Opera House on Saturday night doing a speech and Q&A. Well, he wasn't technically at the Sydney Opera House. They beamed him in from his home in Cambridge, England via hologram.
Love it.
So you're there in the Sydney Opera House. Up on the stage, you'd think you're looking at Stephen Hawking.
Love it so much.
You know what you're looking at? Hologram.
That's pretty strong.
He is the future. He's like a man from the future. He's on the Starship Enterprise.
So if they can do that, there's no reason why Stephen Hawking couldn't be, quote unquote, in our studio tomorrow.
That's right. Being interviewed by us.
Or he can be anywhere.
All we need is about 1.5 million technology in this studio that we can't get the phones to work in or get a new microphone or chair.
That's true.
But we could get some holographic equipment, I'm sure, in here. Toot sweet.
All right. We might not be first up then for his radio tour.
Yes.
Sounds like Seacrest is going to get him before us.
So Hawking's up on stage and he's giving a speech about astrophysics and all those good things that he knows so much about. Then they open up to the audience asking him questions. What if you could ask the most genius person on the planet, the smartest man in the world, if you could ask him one question, what would it be? There's a lot of pressure there, right?
Black holes.
Mine would have to be about time travel, whether it's really possible.
That'd be a good one. Black holes. Kevin would want to know about black holes.
Right.
Because he rented it that one time.
Right. But here's what this guy wanted to ask Steve about.
What do you think is the cosmological effect of Zane leaving One Direction and consequently breaking the hearts of millions of teenage girls across the world?
Finally, a question about something important. My advice to any heartbroken young girl is to pay close attention to the study of theoretical physics. Because one day, there may well be proof of multiple universes. It would not then be beyond the realms of possibility that somewhere outside of our own universe lies another different universe. And in that universe, Zane is still in One Direction. This girl maiden like to know that in another possible universe, she and Zane are happily married.
Oh, that's sweet. Good for her. You know, get the holograms of him now. I mean, how about updating that voice box? How about downloading the next gen of that voice box? There's got to be something, right? Something we can do?
Well, you would think, yeah.
Does it sound like an AM radio and you're going under a bridge? It's Tuesday, new release day, suckas.
Tell me.
Blur, the Magic Whip. Magic Whip.
Whip.
Their new CD's out today. Zach Brown Band, Jekyll and Hyde. And Josh Groban's got a new CD out called Stages. Mm.
Who did
Bean,
that?
Bean is underwhelmed.
I am.
Bean?
That's not a good batch for me.
Oh, I thought that was just for Josh Groban, which I would say.
Care well, that, Zach Brown this is, or Blur either, it sounds like.
This is his album doing Broadway show tunes. It's really not in my wheelhouse.
Gotta dance! Yeah.
So, I like Josh. I think he's a very talented guy, great singer, but I don't care much about that kind of those songs. So it's not a big day for me, I guess. Still going to IHOP. Still go check it out.
Sure. But, right? Sure. Digital video discs available today.
Uh-huh.
Inherent Vice, Joaquin Phoenix and Josh Brolin. I've been dying to get to see that movie, and I haven't had a chance. It's already on DVD. The Gambler with Mark Wahlberg. The Wedding Ringer with Kevin Hart and Josh Gad. The Boy Next Door with Jennifer Lopez. Yeah, speaking of cougars. Bow, chicka, bow, bow. Oh, I'm a high school student. Don't mind that I'm 40. Let's do it. Bow, bow, bow. It's a quick scene from The Boy Next Door. And a movie that I endorsed heartily when I saw it, and I still do so at this moment right now. Paddington. If you have kids, you will love Paddington, the story of Paddington the Bear. Nicole Kidman stars, along with a bunch of other really super talented British actors. And it's lovely and charming and delicious, and you'll love it. Hey, this Saturday, K-Rock will be, once again, at Santa Anita Park in beautiful Arcadia, California. The microbrew team will be there celebrating the Kentucky Derby. It'll be Kentucky Derby Day party.
Just wear a hat? One of those giant hats
No,
that they wear?
This okay. Nice thing about being at Santa Anita, not there at Churchill Downs. You can be hat-free in the infield at the Santa Anita Park, the microbrew festival going on. Here's what's happening. They got a band called Seedless that'll be playing. You get to party and drink and gamble. It's just the best of all worlds. Dave's going to be there. Omar, Lightning, Super Steve, Nicole Alvarez, Miss Double D, Omar. Did I mention him?
Yep.
Striker. Live racing all day. Infield opens at 11 a.m. If you'd like to go, you will enjoy yourself. I promise it's going to be a beautiful day, like 80 degrees on Saturday. Nice and sunny. Go out and have a good time. Let me encourage you by giving away to one lucky winner a four-pack of VIP tickets to this event. Here's what you get. Four admissions to the park, free. You get backstage access. You get drink tickets. And you get $106 in a voucher that you can use to bet on the ponies. All that going on this Saturday at the K-Rock Microbrew Festival. If you want to go, give me a call right now. 1-800-520-1067. Let's say caller number 21, since you have to be 21 years of age or older to attend. Big event this Saturday. Check it out.
All horse manure.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jay Leno, 65. Too Short is 49. Bridget Moynihan celebrates her 45th birthday today. Jorge Garcia is 42. Penelope Cruz is 41. And Jessica Alba, she's 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have a brand new internet roundup. We are going to talk to actress Allison Janney on the program.
Love her.
We have Eddie Izzard in the studio.
Oh, love him.
We have Adam Carolla on the program. And why do you people dress up your dogs?
Thank you.
Stop it.
Mataclan.
Right?
Right.
Stop it.
Yeah, this is back in the on our radar. We'll talk about this tomorrow.
Stop doing this.
Because there was an event a couple of days ago that I heard about that involved 150 bulldogs showing up at the beach in Southern California, having a big bulldog festival. You know I love the bulldogs, Ralph.
Sure.
And every picture I saw from that event had people dressing up their goddamn dogs in outfits.
Well, was it a Strut Your Mutt event?
I don't know what that means.
Because they should dress them up.
I don't know what that means. But they're wings, and they're wearing like little dresses, and they're wearing hats, and they're wearing monocles. They've got ties, and they've just got all sorts of nonsense on them. If you love your dog, why do you think your dog wants to wear an outfit? Why? You need to meet those people and talk to those people tomorrow.
Well,
yes,
fine.
I am.
She's right. It's dumb.
It's dumb.
They have fur on them. They don't need you.
And it's a billion-dollar industry. It's clothes for pets.
And bulldogs are so butt ugly. Isn't it bad enough that they have to live with that? Well, the embarrassment of clothing?
We diverge on that topic.
Someone hit them in the face with a snow shovel. And yet, now you're going to dress them up to compound the problem?
They're the best dogs in the world, but they don't need wings.
You already own the worst dog in the world, and now you're going to put clothes on them. We're going to fix you tomorrow.
We're going to talk to some pet parents.